Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No. Because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report for today. It's Wednesday, May 1st, 2013. I'm Doug Hagman. Co-host with me is my son, investigator co-host as well. We are in studio, folks. We are together. We are the Hagman and Hagman Report. And for the next 3 hours, we have a very special program for you. We had to reschedule Nick and Leo for tomorrow. And tonight, we have a special program at a special time. And that is Steve Quayle and the Gorilla Economist. I just love that name, known as V. And, of course, they're going to be joining us shortly. Having that said, Joe, are you connected or are you?
Yes, I am. You were very choppy. I don't know if you want to hang up and call back or reconnect, but we do have Steve on the line.
Yeah.
And we have V. I'm going to bring both of these gentlemen on. First, Steve. Good evening, Steve.
Well, Steve? You there, my friend?
Yeah, hi. Doug, you're really choppy, and I mean so choppy I can't hear you. And so am I coming clear? Listen, every time we go on with when we're going to do this, whatever reason, obviously the prince and the power of the air and the minions that are trying to mess with us are still messing. So, Doug, I don't know. Am I coming through clear and choppy? And, V, can you hear me?
All right, I'm going to bring V on now. And Steve,
yeah,
is choppy.
Here, guys. Steve, you're
kind
of choppy.
Yep. Hey, Joe, can we try a we'll reconnect because I am just hearing just total chop.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, we can do that. You're muted, Dad. Yeah, we're going to have to reconnect because this is definitely too choppy. We can't hear each other. So this is what we'll do. We will, Dad, if you want to drop off. I don't know, Steve, if you have to drop off. Let me see if my dad drops off, if that'll solve the problem. Okay, you're off. And, Steve, am I still choppy? Are you hearing me choppy?
No, you're not choppy. MV, am I choppy now to you?
You're still a little choppy.
Yeah.
Just a little.
Yeah, and he's choppy to me. Joe, what would be the best thing to do? Because it really is bad, and I thought that we had this thing licked, and I think it's going to have to be Doug calling Blog Talk or something because it's just really crummy.
Yeah. I'm talking with our producer right now, and we're going to have to figure a different way to connect because we can't have this choppiness with the broadcast. Nobody will be able to understand what you guys are saying, and it's important to hear.
Right.
So
what do you want me and V to do? Call back in? Or what's the procedure?
Joe, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Troy.
All right. If you call in on that number, you guys can do the show off of that number.
The other number? 321-252-8941. Okay. 312.
That
what's that?
321-252-8941.
8941. Okay. Yes. Call
What's the number,
on.
Joe? I couldn't.
The number is 321.
Okay.
252.
Okay.
is that, 9841? 8941.
And that's what both B and I will call back in on?
Yeah, you can call that number, and that will be connected through BTR, through our Christians United Broadcasting Network. Yes.
Yeah, okay. I'll call on that number.
All right, guys. Sorry about all the sound confusion and commotion. We will get this fixed. We will be able to hear them clearly, and we will start the show. There is a bunch of news, economic news today.
Cutting off too.
What's that, Troy?
You're cutting off too.
Hi, this is Steve.
Steve, you're coming out clear.
I'm sorry?
You're clear. You're coming out clear.
Okay, what about B? Is he on too now?
I have another number, but I'm not sure if it's him or not. Wait, someone's coming on right now.
Okay. Steve, I apologize. I thought we had this completely rectified at least 5 minutes before it appeared to be rectified, but apparently.
Okay, so that's Doug. Okay, so you and Doug are on right now.
Okay. And you better have, you know, this is so frustrating, Doug, because, again, you know, I it's not very difficult. I'm getting it. So, yeah.
Yeah, we understand this, and we had everything up and running of 5 minutes before airtime, and it was working well. And it's just amazing.
Okay, now is B on with us now?
Joe and Troy, they're checking
no,
right
he's
now.
No, not calling yet.
Well, he probably didn't hear the right. Why doesn't he?
Okay, you're gonna email him the number, Steve?
Yeah, I'm gonna email him the same number. Is that what I'm supposed to do, Troy?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, we apologize, everybody. This is so frustrating because, you know, it's just beyond. I'll just shut up and see if I can get him this number.
Okay. While you do that, Steve, go ahead and do that, and the sound now has apparently been rectified now that we went through this secondary redundant
and
source.
We got support on. They're coming on to check it out from BTR.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
You sound real far away.
And look, I understand, everybody, that we're on the air and you can hear the conversation. The point is I am trying to get V on with us. That's our point of tonight's
show.
We
have another call.
We're on the air and you can hear the conversation. The point is I am trying to get V on.
I know you can hear that. Don't worry about that. That'll go away here shortly. Amateur hour.
Get your faculty together. Ask Jesus to clear the airwaves.
All right.
There's no need to be anxious in anything in his name.
Okay.
We can have music or elevator music here. Steve, are you with me? Okay, I gotta tell you, you know, you sent me an email today, which I thought, and we are broadcasting live, and we're just waiting for me. You sent me an email today, I thought was just tremendous. You know, you were one of the first people to talk about the demonization, the vilification of Christians in the military, and if you go to stevequill.com. How many years ago? It was 2 years ago, almost to the day, that you had posted information about this military, about the assault on Christianity, or followers of Jesus in the military and religion. Is it 2 years to the day?
Well, yeah, and I think that people need to understand something. You know, I wish, and I don't know how, the thing that I get across to the Christians, they had better stand up, they had better speak up, they'd better yell, they'd better scream, they'd better ask God in prayer what they should do. I have never been surrounded in my life by such, how should I say this, naysaying Christians. And by the way, they're not believers. They're unbelievers. Why I say that is this, Doug. We have been, as Christians, now vilified. Jesus is under total attack, and Jesus can obviously defend himself. And we told, you know, he's told us in Scripture this is going to happen. But I have never seen a bigger group of crybabies. And I'm serious. Listen, somebody says, well, you don't sound like you're very loving. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. If there is no fear of the Lord, then evil is tolerated. Because there has been no fear of the Lord, we're in the mess we're in. And I don't know how many years I have to tell people this, that if the salt loses its savor, according to Jesus, it's henceforth good for nothing. You see, we're not out tonight to titillate, entertain, or basically just drop a bunch of information on what's going to happen. If we've warned, I've warned 2 years ago, and I'm going to read the prophecy I gave. If, ladies and gentlemen, you could be court-martialed in the U.S. military for your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, and less than a week ago, if not 4 days ago, there was this big hoorah that the military is hiring people to basically teach how to fight Christianity, and just because you have an individual who claims to be Weinstein or whatever his name is, the bottom line is, when will you stand up for your Lord and Savior? 2 years ago, almost to the date, it's on my website, too, and I think it's in the alert section, Doug, and it would be under Pentagon or Word of the Lord at the Pentagon. The Bible says when we give a testimony to Jesus, that that is the spirit of prophecy. And Jesus said, if they've done these things unto me, what are they going to do unto you? And, you know, it's kind of like, how do I say this? It's kind of like everyone's waiting for the axe to fall, but no one's willing to basically address the fact that the people holding the axe shouldn't have the axe. They're not willing to pray and fast to break the yoke of the axe. And the axe is going to fall so violently that all of my warnings are and I say this, after 9,000 hours and absolute pleading, crying out, interceding, praying on the air, and still the pulpits are silent. Now, if you have a preacher that's speaking out, acting out, and standing up for Jesus, and they are not under this statement. But the bottom line is, Doug, it's like kids standing at the base of a dam. The cracks have been a long time coming. The water's no longer a trickle, but it's starting to be a constant flow, and people don't understand that they're in the crosshairs. And so when, as I have warned, and look, tonight I'm going to speak from my heart. For those of you that have nothing better to do than to hang out on boards and argue theology, why don't you get a spine and stand up for your Lord and Savior? Why don't you begin to become active? And look, I still believe that, you know, for as the salt of the earth, you can still write to the senators and congressmen. Do I believe it'll do any good? No. But it'll cause you to have to take a stand. And if you do not take a stand and do not take active prayer, supernatural warfare against this thing, it's going to overrun you. It is now, Doug, and I'm going to go to the veteran issue. 4 years before the veterans became identified as terrorists, before they, even 2 years before they started confiscating guns, I said, this is the plan, this is the plan, this is the plan. Yet it fell mostly on deaf ears. And I said, I lost heart when all of the veterans organizations couldn't see that it's not the vilification of them, but the destruction of them. And it's the same thing in the financial arena. The same thing is coming forth at breakneck speed. We can warn you months and months ago, be so concise, so specific, and yet people still write inane emails, what should I do? The thing is that V was even asked, and I won't say the name, and by the way, is he on with us yet?
I'm here.
I'm not going to give any names, but I'm going to lay out something for people to understand. You and I were both basically asked by a certain major ministry, no names, okay? And a brother really wants to help the people that are out there that are in what I call Christian TV land. And we both talked to an individual, and is it fair to say, V, independently, that the gentleman just did not have a clue? Is that fair to say? Because he couldn't understand your motivation for trying to help people. You want to just basically share with people, and I want to turn this over to you because
I do want to basically address this at a later time in the show. What's being done to believers, especially in the military, the specific word of the Lord I was given, that God said he is against the Pentagon and the United States because they are making war on his people. And I put up on my website, and I will put it up for people to read. It's not that I'm right. That's not the issue. It's like God is pleading with his people, and he's saying, will you stand up? So tonight we have, ladies and gentlemen, V, who has basically agreed to come on international radio, share from his deep insider background, and I don't think I need to basically blow wind in the sails. His bona fides and his accuracy speak for themselves. So, B, I just want to have you share, and when you're ready to get back to me, there's no rush. I'm not interrupting you. I don't want to interrupt you, but it's critical that people understand that the time for choices is just about up, especially in the financial region. And, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple. The love of money is the root of all evil. The control of money is the control of all evil. And what we're trying to do tonight is give you, number one, your life back, to show you have responsibility, and with the responsibility of taking your own finances under your own hands, you can have control. And if you don't think it's important to God, he says, make friends of yourselves of unrighteous mammon, so when God gives you the true riches of heaven, you'll be able to use it and to use it effectively. So go ahead, B.
Well, once again, it's great to be back and be on the air. I come on with a heavy heart because, you know, one of the things I want to make very clear to everybody listening is this. You know, when you have somebody or when you have a group of people that warn you about things, and those warnings will come months, maybe weeks, and years in advance, then you see those very same warnings come to fruition. Okay, it is one thing for that individual for that person that's hearing the warnings to take it to heart and say to themselves, wow, you know, this individual has given warnings and these things have come true. Maybe, just maybe I should listen to them. Just maybe I should do something. Just maybe I should really reevaluate how my life is really going. You know, if 10% of what Steve Quayle and myself say, if only 10% came true, then you have a lot to be worried about. Okay. Now, earlier Steve said, the majority of the Christians that are out there don't get it. Let me tell you something. One of the things I told, I shared a little bit about my testimony, just a little bit. I was once an atheist. Didn't believe in God, was a very scientific, very analytical person. And it was through my analysis that led me to the Lord. And I will tell you this, one of the things that disheartened me greatly is the fact that so many Christians are disconnected. For some reason, and I like to use the word inoculated, they are inoculated to be disconnected from reality, okay? Now, we can debate about, you know, what is the cause of that inoculation, but there is a type of being at ease in Zion, so to speak. Most people that are in Christendom, especially on the national, international level, with very large ministries, oftentimes just don't understand the times and the seasons that are at hand because they're too busy, you know, it's great what they're doing, you know, some of them are bringing people to the Lord. Some of them feel they're doing a great thing, but they really fail to understand that, you know, the real motivation for somebody such as myself, such as Steve Quayle, such as Doug and Joe Hagman, the real motivation for what we do is not money. All right, that is not it. Because there are other things we could be doing right now that is far more lucrative than coming on the radio for 2-3 hours a day warning people, okay? We do this because there's a call, because we know that when we understand that we are all under the gun. When you are facing annihilation, if you are the person that's on the Titanic, you know that the ship is not only going to hit the iceberg, it has already hit the iceberg. It is beginning to take on water, and you are screaming from the from the smokestacks. You're screaming from the lifeboats for people to get out. And all you see are people just rearranging deck chairs and trying to upgrade the first class. It's insanity. Okay, it's absolute insanity. The motivation for what we do is because we have an inane, God-given discernment to understand that this time, in this moment in history, it's different. Some people will say, oh, you know, this is, you know, today I got into a little debate with somebody who said, oh, it's just cyclical. It's cyclical, the market. This is not cyclical. What's occurring in the economy globally right now, there's nothing cyclical about it. As I'm talking to you, as you're hearing my voice, 17 out of the 17 nations that are in the European Union, they are in a massive hemorrhagic meltdown, and that is something that is trying to be mitigated and underreported by the news media. 17 out of 17 nations, the whole entire 100% of the Eurozone is in turmoil. Spain, with unemployment rates for those between 25 and 32, they'll say it's 27%. No, it's not. It's in the mid-30s, okay? Those who are even younger, or those who are out of college age, those who are college age is over 50%. And for everybody else, it's in the mid-30s. Massive problems. Greece, children are going hungry. The people, doctors, physicians, people with PhD degrees, as I'm speaking to you right now, in Athens are dumpster diving to get their next meal. Italy is going berserk. They don't know what to do. Portugal is knocking at the knees. France is doing a juggling act. They don't know what to do. Germany's in disarray. They don't know whether they're coming or whether they're going. The UK is a time bomb. Their banks, every single one of them, including the Royal Bank of Scotland, including Barclays, including all the other banks that are in the UK, HSBC, all of them, okay? They're all over leveraged 40 to 1 on derivatives. Deutsche Bank, the biggest bank in Germany, okay, news just came out this week, and I've known about this for the last couple of years. They're over leveraged 72 trillion in derivatives. Folks, the German economy is barely a $3 trillion a year economy, and you have one bank that's $72 trillion in debt. You have to understand that what you are facing right now is not cyclical. What you're facing is an end game. What you're facing is a financial time bomb. You know, when I came on the air on January 11th, I talked about Japan and what's going on. Well, let me give you guys a little update. Since the last time I was on, the first time I really exposed Japan before anybody else in the world was talking about it, right now Japan is facing skyrocketing inflation. Energy costs going through the roof. I mean, reports from McDonald's that they raised their hamburger prices 25% from last week. Costs of various food items going through the roof. This is what is happening. And they mitigated and they underplayed, saying, oh, look, consumer confidence is up in Japan. Oh, look, the sales of luxury items are up in Japan. What they failed to understand, what they failed to tell you, the American public, and the rest of the world, is that those consumer figures that they like to plaster as accolades and achievements and little stars for a kid who doesn't wet his bed, those little stars, what they like to do, those figures were given during the holiday season in Japan, but overall customer confidence has collapsed. Overall, they said all the unemployment rate dropped. Yeah, that's because half the workforce just gave up looking for jobs. The whole entire women workforce in Japan fell out. So you have a country using the Abenomics, as they call it because of Prime Minister Abe, and Kuruda, the guy who was in charge of the Bank of Japan, printing to oblivion. Deep to oblivion. And guess what, folks? Your country, the United States of America, is doing the very same thing. We are printing to oblivion, printing like there's no tomorrow. It is a mathematical inevitability that this ship is going to sink. It's already taken on water, like I said. Now, let me tell you something else. 10 to 12 years ago, if I were to tell you that central banks would be buying stocks and equity positions in the market, you would have thought I was crazy because it's sounded something like it's totally unnecessary. But in fact, it's exactly what they're doing. The Bank of Japan last month announced, hey, you know what? We're going to go ahead and buy derivatives. It's insane. This is a man who is the equivalent of somebody who's dying because he ate rat poison. Now he wants to eat uranium or plutonium to kill himself even quicker. And yet, this is what's happening. So this is not cyclical, all right? Every day I'm getting questions. I've had an email sent to me where a listener asked, should I buy a house? Should I rent a house? What if I live in a house currently? Well, folks, here's the deal. If you're living in a house, live in it, all right? Again, do not worry so much about your mortgage. Worry only if you're not prepared. People ask, well, what if I do it, you know, with some renting? Well, stay where you are. And it collapsed. Let me give you an example. In Spain, okay, in Spain right now, you have tens of hundreds of thousands of people that are just squatters. They've lost their jobs. They're in their apartment complexes. They're in their condominium complexes or their rental complexes, and they're just standing there. They're just sitting there. Nobody's being forcing them out into the street because they just can't do that. It's better that these people live in homes that they haven't paid for or rooms over their heads that they haven't paid the rent for than being out in the street. So those who are renting, continue to rent. Those who are paying mortgage, continue to pay your mortgage. But understand the importance of the day. How many times have I come on or have Steve Quayle came on and we warned you guys, we warned every single one of you, get gold, get silver, because the time to get it will draw less and less and less. And right now, we are in the midst of a gold and silver shortage. People are like, well, you know, silver is X amount per spot. You don't understand the premium that dealers are paying right now because it's getting very, very difficult in order to acquire these precious metals. Okay? Now, in the midst of all this, the world going to hell in a handbasket, you have American Christianity, clueless, led by Judas goats, led to the slaughterhouse, inoculated against any form of discernment. It's unbelievable. And it breaks and saddens my heart that people, especially the church, is asleep at the wheel.
And I don't know if we just got cut off. V, are you still there?
No, I just stopped talking.
Okay.
I'm here.
All right. No, my dad here, he's coming on. He just connected through a different way. And there, you're on.
Yeah. Hey, Joe, are you guys on internet VoIP or something? Because I'm getting so many, I mean, no kidding. And look, this is, I know we're on the air and people can hear what's really being done. This, ladies and gentlemen, if you'll all pray, last time we did this, you know, it cleared up a little bit in the show. It cleared up about the half hour, but there's no reason why two phone lines, are we connected? Are you guys broadcasting out or going out over VoIP?
We are broadcasting Joe? Over.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, we are broadcasting in every manner possible. We're hardwired. We are broadcasting all
those. You're totally breaking up.
Yeah.
I can't hear a word. You're so garbled. I cannot hear what you're saying.
Steve, can you hear me okay?
So, you know. Excuse me?
You can't hear me okay then either? I'm breaking.
I can hear you. You're not as garbled. When it was just, and I'm not saying Doug, get off, but I'm just saying, I don't understand. Whatever the name of the technician is there not a way for him to balance out impedance or something? Because it seems like we're getting, I don't know what's going on the thing, but, it, you know, I listen, I'm getting emails that are coming in. You're choppy. They're messing with it. I can understand them barely, you know. And so I guess what I'm saying is that it is not only frustrating, it's spiritual warfare. If it were not as critical as it is, look, let me just make this clear, and I speak for both B and I. We know that our day of getting through, or getting on in order to get through, is very, very limited. And I'm not going to ask B to talk about what, you know, his sources are saying in the background until we can get a clear clear signal, Doug, because it's just counterproductive. Now, Joe, is V coming through to you? He's coming through choppy to me, okay? Am I coming through choppy to you?
Can you hear me?
And yes, Troy, I can hear you.
Yes.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah. You're coming out crystal clear on the Christian United Broadcasting Network. Everybody's listening to you live there. And on the BTR, you guys are coming out a little choppy. It's their end that your guys' sound is getting bad. But on the CBN side, you guys are coming out crystal clear. You guys got about 200-something people in there now listening to you guys live, and you guys are coming out crystal clear. The people that are going to come out crystal clear are the people that are on this line. But if you guys try to go on the Blog Talk side and try to use the phone lines on there, then it'll come out choppy because there's something wrong with their end. But you guys are still coming out, but it's choppy on the BTR side. But on the DUBN side, you guys are coming out crystal clear.
Okay, so how then do we get it to clear up? Because the last time we had it, Doug was on the phone with the BTR people, and it seemed to clear at some point where it wasn't choppy. So I don't know if Doug has to call BTR.
Yes.
Or somebody's got to call BTR.
Yes. It's their end. They have to fix their end. But right now, I'm streaming you guys to two channels, which gives the people the ability to listen to you clearly on another channel.
Yeah, we're live on Justin TV.
Yes.
Through Christians United Broadcasting Network. And you're going to be getting an email link, Steve, to that. And I guess I'm coming through clear there.
Is Doug on the phone with BTR now?
We were working on it right now. He's dealing with them on the phone. I'm dealing with them on the chat help. So, yeah, you guys can go ahead and continue. And we'll continue to work this out on our end.
Okay, Joe, will it help if you drop off for a minute until Doug can get it worked out with Blog Talk and then come back on? So will that make us clear, Troy? Will that make us clear?
I'll tell you what. Yeah.
It won't fix the BTR issue, but you guys are coming up clear on this end. I mean, BTR is just doing their own thing. They're having an issue again, so.
Okay, then how do they tune in to where we're clear?
Well, the Hagmans have their own show on CUBN. It's called the Hagman and Hagman Report.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they dial that on their browser, they'll go through the show, and then they got a quick play on the video monitor, and there's a chat room, and there's a bunch of things there that they can do. And it's clear. It's clear there. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Word from BTR is they're working on a technical update right now.
Okay. Well, I mean, do you guys want to go to break and give them some minutes? Because this is so critical. I mean, what's a tragedy? And look, I understand spiritual warfare. And so those of you who say take dominion over it, you stand and take dominion over it too. I'm going to tell you something. There's a reason why this is happening tonight, and it's for some of you, it's your last time to hear, last time to act, and last time to finally get it if you're ever going to get it. So that's what's at stake, Joe, and I'm trying to tell you how to do it, but I physically cannot hear without, even when V's speaking, it's so choppy. When Doug comes on, it's total choppy, and you break up intermittently.
Well, I'll mute myself, and I will let you guys continue to talk, and we can try to go to a commercial and see how that works for now while we let this settle down. And
let's go
see
to a commercial and see what Doug can find out from Blog Talk, and let's take a 5-minute commercial. We'll skip the one at the top of the hour.
All right, guys, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report. We'll be right back. We're going to take a quick commercial break, try to work out these sound issues. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hi, folks. Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman and Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines. You just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's CanadaFreePress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Ilana Johnson-Powell, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at CanadaFreePress.com. Now mobile friendly. Follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free world.
If you are stumped, you don't know what kind of gift to give to a friend or a loved one, I'm telling you, you must go to 4physics.com. That's the numeral 4, PHYSICS.com. This is your one-stop shopping palace. That's the only way I can put it. I could spend easily an hour on this website. Innovative, fun, educational. There are games, books, weather instruments, unique time-telling devices, jewelry, optical devices, laboratory equipment. Let me give you an example. We all know we can tell time with a sundial. You've seen those advertised. Did you know that you could tell time by the stars? At 4physics.com, you can buy a horologium nocturnum. This was a navigational device used in the 15th century by navigators at night to tell time by the stars. It's beautifully crafted in the shape of a pendant made of bronze and pewter or gold and silver. Absolutely a stunning gift. I would be proud to give it to anyone. You must go to 4physics.com. Even if you're not stumped, that's 4physics. That's the numeral 4, PHYSICS.com. It's your one-stop shopping palace. Any problems that you have, I don't know what to get Grandpa, I don't know what to get my loved one, that's unique, you will find it at 4physics.com. Please take my word for it. Go to the website, but give yourself a lot of time because you're not going to want to leave 4physics.com.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the Brick Pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP Brick Packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Hagman and Hagman Report. Trying to fix some sound issues. Not sure if we have those fixed or not. Audio is clear on Justin TV. The Hagman and Hagman Report.com. That is spelled all out to go to the link, to get to the link of Justin TV. We are still choppy on BTR, according to Troy here. And they are working on some updates. They are trying to fix some technical glitch or pinpoint some problem they are having. But we're going to continue the show. Okay, we got some people in chat say sound is good. But that is just on a few players. We're going to see Steve and V. Are you guys back? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. This is, yeah. Let's let V again continue on. Go ahead, V.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. Well, you know, where the war was with Japan and what's going on with the Eurozone. And I was just, you know, warning people about, you know, what they need to do. But here's the thing. You know, I've been on here quite a few times, you know, and one of the things that I really want people to understand, you know, I touched the base upon what is the difference between currency and money. And I told you what you have in your pocket, the little green pieces of paper with the face of the dead president on them, is just currency. It is valueless, worthless paper printed on nothing. I mean, printed on, you know, printed based on nothing, okay? I told you what real money is. And real money for the elites and real money for people for the last 6,000 years plus has been gold and silver. I don't know how many times I've got to beat that over a person's head. But the thing is this, folks. There are things that are very critical for you to have and for you to get a hold of. Gold and silver right now, you can still get it, okay? There's very few dealers that can deliver it, all right? Most people that I, you know, deal with are waiting 6 weeks, 8 weeks in order to get it. If you're able to call Renaissance Metals, call Steve. It's one of the few guys I know that can get it to you in a very, very quick and timely manner, all right? Use this downtime where you have a lower price. Even with the premiums tacked onto gold and silver, it's still a great time to buy. Use this opportunity to get what you can while you still can. Use this opportunity to get the food stores that you possibly can. Use the opportunity to get your, most importantly, your spiritual houses in order, okay? And then what you need to do is just wait, because you're going to see a lot of things transpire. And, you know, one of the things from studying what's occurring right now economically all over the world, okay, the last time I was on, I told you that the BRICS are setting up a new BRICS World Bank, which is going to be a counterbalance to the IMF and the World Bank. You know, and I told you that over 50% of the largest economies in the world are already divesting out of the dollar. They don't want to touch it. They don't want to use it. You need to understand that your world and your way of life is soon coming to an end. You need to understand that the way things have always been, business as usual, is no longer valid. It's no longer the same. The things right now are so different. And unless you prepare, okay, and I'm giving you the signs from the economic side. You know, last week I told you, like, if you read my alert that I sent over on Steve Quayle's website, you know, I talked about Germany, and I mentioned Germany, I don't even know how many times, a while back as well. I said, watch Germany. Months ago I said it. Watch Germany. And now we hear that the Germans, you know, they initially said, hey, let us have a little bit of our gold back. Now they're asking for all of it back. And now we've agreed, oh, okay, we're going to go from 150 tons every 3 years to we'll probably give it to you a little bit more. My inside sources have already told me that most of the gold that's been shown to the German bureaucrats when they come to the New York Fed underground, 80 feet underground on 55th Street in Liberty, when they go over there, when they're shown that gold, but that's not even real gold bullion bars. What that actually is gold-dipped tungsten, just so they can assuage the fears of the German bureaucrats. You see, folks, the Fed has no gold. It's gone. It's gone. It's already moved into other hands. It's moved into other organizations. It's moved into other places. because the infrastructure that they're setting up is they're already getting ready for a collapse. Before a collapse occurs, you're going to see movement of real, tangible, worthwhile assets. What does that mean? Simple. You're going to see flights from currencies that are dying to currencies that are strong. You're going to see movements of wire transfers and transfers of wealth going from banks that are dying in debt to those that are viable. And most importantly, you're going to see swings in precious metals. You're going to see those swings move from the weak hands to the strong hands. You're going to see a total integration, a total gathering together, so to speak, a total concentration, so to speak, of the precious metals market, of the wealth into the hands of a few, and then they bring about the collapse. You know, back in June, I put out an alert, and I said in June of 2012 that the euro has unofficially collapsed, and it was by happenstance one of Steve's masters at that time put up a red screen. Millions of people saw it. But the word here, folks, was unofficial collapse. And then I detailed exactly how the official collapse is going to transpire. Folks, you are right now, the world right now is in a total full-blown depression. Okay? We're in a depression. There's no ifs, ands, or doubts about it. Like I said, the Eurozone is dying. They're hemorrhaging. 17 out of 17 countries in total turmoil, total debt, total trouble. UK, the one of the countries that are in the that haven't met the quote unquote Eurozone requirements as of yet, is also in a whole heap of trouble. 40-1 over leverage, every single one of their banks. Okay? So these things are occurring, and yet we haven't faced the full brunt of it. Why? Because we just happen to have the luxury of being the world reserve currency. Those days, the sand clock, the time clock on that has already been running out right now. You have economies that no longer want to deal with the dollar. You have countries that don't longer want to buy our debt. You have people waking up to the fact. So let me tell you something about this Ponzi scheme that the Americans have been running for the last 40 years. We are running out of people to lie to. That's the biggest problem right now in America, in the American economic system, is that we are running out of people to lie to. Nobody is buying our BS anymore. No one is believing that the U.S. dollar is the safe haven except for morons. Now, I've told you months ago that the Dow is going to hit between 14 and 15,000 points, and guess what? Here we are today. How is it possible? It's called the Federal Reserve printing press. It's the printing press that's always on, and it's printing like it's never printed before. It's on overdrive. And when you have that much money being forced out, when you have that much money just flowing like a breach, like a broken dam, where is that money going to go? Directly into the stock market. So what you're seeing is an artificial fool's rally. What you're seeing is more bubbles trying to be inflated. And I warned many of you, be careful that they're going to try and inflate the real estate bubble. I've told you, whether you want to believe it or not, there is 34 million homes that are in shadow inventory right now, whether you want to believe it or not. That is why they're trying to increase the bubble in the real estate market. Now, let me tell you something. I was around, okay, at that time in one of the subsidiaries of the international bank that I was working for when they decided to cut. Okay, this was right before the major housing collapse. They decided that they're going to have a mortgage department, which is usually staffed between, let's just say, between 2,000 and 3,000 people, and they cut it down to like maybe like 150 people. And that's when the scandal robo-signing that some of you might remember. And what they did is they purposely bottlenecked the system because the banks, we knew that if we allowed those 34 million homes that were all built on a frenzy of bubble and cheap money and cheap credit, if we allowed that, those houses to hit the market, it will collapse the real estate economy. It will collapse the real estate market in this country. Well, that game, they're trying to play that game again. They're going to loosen up the credit a little bit. They're going to try to inflate that housing bubble. But I'm telling you right now, it is not the time to buy it. I'm telling you right now that bubble, too, will burst. See, the thing about a bubble, folks, is this. Everybody loves a bubble on the way up. But just like a goldfish, I don't know what it is about us Americans, but just like a goldfish, goldfish have a memory of maybe 20 seconds at the most. We forget the damage and destruction that bubbles cause. We forget the devastation that these bubbles create. And when you have a madness, Keynesian economy, and sycophant Keynesian economists running a centralized economy, folks, you don't have a free market. You have a bunch of Keynesian Looney Tunes running the West, running America, running Canada, running Europe, running Japan. And these guys are running it directly into the ground. And their hope is that when the inevitable crash does occur, that they will have all their assets in safe allocation. They will have all their wealth preserved, while the rest of you get not only a haircut, but you'll get a decapitation as well. Let me tell you something. The issue of Cyprus and what has occurred, that I warned many of you time and time again, there's going to be a coming bank hack. And I don't want to go into any detail about how I know about this. I don't want to go into detail the fact that, as I can tell you for a fact, that banks the world over, the biggest banks, are becoming more and more lax with their security. In other words, they are not updating to the latest software. They're not integrating to the latest, more secure networks. They are doing it on purpose. How many times have you seen repeated over and over and over again? We've seen clusters of DNS errors. We're seeing clusters of online banking being down. We've seen clusters of ATM shut down. We've seen clusters of, oh, we can't get your money out right now. Give us a letter, and in 24 hours or so, you give it to us in writing, we'll have the money for you tomorrow. We're seeing clusters of that. Why? They are purposely weakening the banking networks. They are getting primed and primed in order that when this cyber attack does go through, when the economic collapse does go through, they will be making it out with all their assets, with all their wealth intact. And you, I'm telling you right now, 80% of Americans, you stand to lose everything. And I mean everything. Unless you do something in order to protect and preserve what you have and what little you have. And it doesn't matter if you're wealthy. I don't care. Listen to me. I don't care if you got $20 million liquid. You're going to lose it, buddy. I don't care if you got $100 in your bank account. You're going to lose that, too. This is for everyone hearing my voice. It doesn't matter if you're rich or you're poor or you're just getting by on paycheck to paycheck. You need to make that preparation now. Time is short. Okay, some of you who call yourselves Christians go to these churches where they absolutely lull you to sleep. You need to wake up. You need to wake up. You need to understand that you're about to go through the fire. You need to understand that the last 200 some odd years since this country's inception, that the Christians have not faced persecution. You're about to face persecution now. Oh yeah. The fires of economic turmoil are already starting to burn on these shores. Strange fires are starting to burn on these shores. I'm telling you right now, things are beginning to move and shake in the finance world. Steve's telling you what's going on militarily, what's going on in Homeland Security. Doug's giving you the heads up. You're having voices. You are being attacked from all sides. And you're still sitting there wondering, is this just another cycle? You're still sitting there thinking that, let me tell you something. I've had my words, things that I've written, go all over the world, posted on various websites, and I had to laugh one the other day when I read one of the comments from one person. It was just hilarious. I think the terminology that this person said was, it is hyperbole on steroids. That's very funny, because when you have an individual that has called things to the T with such accuracy, my friend, it's no longer hyperbole. It's to the point right now, we're not trying to be alarmist here. We're trying to tell you, listen, we see the iceberg. We see the slaughterhouse.
We see what's going to happen to you and to your families unless you wake up. You will be waking unless you wake up and do something to preserve your life, to preserve the life and well-being of your family, you're going to wake up beggared. You're going to be waking up with nothing. You're going to be woken up with a SWAT team on your in the front of your house. That's what they have planned for you. And let me tell you something, folks. When this whole thing is wiped clean, look, I haven't told any one of you, none of you, what the future banking system is all about. I haven't told any or shared with any of you the advanced technology, the algorithms, the ubiquitous computing that's going to integrate all of this in the new money economy, in the new currency system. That's not only just digital. We all know it's digital. It's so cliche for people to say, oh, it's a digital currency. Oh, my friend, let me tell you, when you go to a bank in the future, when all this thing is said and done, when the persecution happens, when this new beef system is finally rolled out in all its glory, when that's rolled out, when you try to go get a loan from the bank, they're going to weigh not only a credit score, but they're going to know your buying habits. They're going to know your loyalties, your political philosophies, your religious leanings, and all those things will be calculated into some sort of a new score through ubiquitous computing, through various technologies like NFC, and that's just going to determine not only what kind of loan you're going to get, but what kind of job you're going to work, and if you can even travel. That's the future you're heading to unless you wake up. That's the future that they have planned for you. Tyranny, my friend, let me tell you something. What they have planned for you, you will yearn to live in Hitler's Germany in comparison. What the bankers have planned for you, you will yearn to live under Stalinist Russia. What they have planned for you, you will much rather live in North Korea. So unless you prepare now, unless you wake up out of your little sleepy cell, unless you stop brushing this off as just mere hyperbole, it's just another raving lunatic on the radio. Unless you wake up and take action, what's coming before you and for your children? Catastrophic is an understatement.
I think it's important for when, didn't it? Hey, Doug, I think it's important that you explain to everybody that we're under the most severe DNS attack. And, you know, I don't know, everything that's going on, but what V is telling you is so quintessential. So listen, when the guys go on the blogs and say that, you know, he's filled with hyperbole and stuff, some of you people that live on blogs, you're writing on a vehicle that I'm going to coin a new word for the people that are in this realm of denial. They're riding insanicycles, okay? You've got unicycles, you've got bicycles, and you've got insanicycles. And the insanicycle is the anticipation that, well, because it's just a cycle, it's all going to come back. I listen to that until I physically want to vomit. Look, I make no apologies for my being steamed. It's one thing to sit in the realm of denial. Even what I call, well, I can't use that word, even what I call the people that absolutely think that this is all a joke, yet veterans are being assassinated, they're being murdered, they're being left to die in hospital beds, they're being left to rot, they're being totally, totally marginalized. 850,000 people, their guns are being taken away, yet there's no guns that are failing to flow to the gangs, there's no guns failing to flow to those who are on our borders, in our borders, ready to go. And isn't it amazing, ladies and gentlemen, whether you want to admit it, I don't care if you're a Christian or not, I don't even care if you're, you know, in the Pentagon and you're a raving Satanist. The bottom line is that it's happening because of the cowards in the pulpits, okay? Now, look, here's the deal. Charles Spurgeon said if there's any issues in the land, it's because the pulpits have failed. We take the words as Christians. We have so minimalized, marginalized, and here's another quail word, punified, the King of Glory, the God of Heaven, that we no longer even consider it even a point of belief. to stand up for Jesus, okay? There was no, and when I say stand up for Jesus, I'm talking about in prayer, in fasting, in calling upon the name of the Lord, in absolutely praying as if your life depends on it, because it does. And the thing that is so critical is, ladies and gentlemen, today, the Pentagon is making the announcement that they're going to court-martial Christians. If you're a Wiccan high priest, you get hired. You get brought in as a consultant. If you're in any form of non-Christian religion, you can say what you want. If you're a Muslim, well, guess what? Some of the highest-ranking intelligence officers and military officers have already converted. So, ladies and gentlemen, you are in a battle for your life. We are in a battle for our children's life. You have forfeited your future. Don't forfeit your children. And God forbid that you don't forfeit your grandchildren's lives. I look at my granddaughter, have a new one, a little, I don't know, two-week-old granddaughter, and I think, oh, God, as a tear streamed down my eyes, what's to become of her? And then my little granddaughter, I've got two granddaughters, I've got two grandsons, and yet I look at them, and their parents are oblivious. They're oblivious to what's going on. I hear such mealy-mouthed emails coming from, don't use my name, don't speak my name, don't worry, I won't. I have a motto, B. If anybody's a wimp and a coward on the email, God forbid that I would use anything they would give me because it's suspect. Then I got the guys that are saying, I don't care. Look, here's the thing. Pastor Langford told everyone the other night that you don't need to be afraid. Once you get to the point where you're ready to die for your faith, look, they're ready to blow themselves up and their children up, and they're ready to do all that stuff. And all God is basically saying at this point is, will you stand up? Will you stand up? And so we're at a point, Doug, and I want to go to the prophecy that I sent you. Do you have it? Did I send it to you? Would you read it on the air? Because my computer is screwed up right now, and it'd take me too long. Can you lay your hands on it, or should I try and find it?
No, I've got it right here, Steve.
Would you read it to the Pentagon and then continue on?
Yeah, sure. It's to the Pentagon. And this, by the way, it's my understanding it was 2 years ago that you had this on your website. To the Pentagon, I am against your plans to make war against my people and my land. It is a small thing in your eyes for you to make war against me, saith the Lord. You trust in the technology of, quote, the fallen ones, end quote, and the hidden and secret weapons that you believe will keep you safe. Has it not dawned on you that as you study in your war colleges, that betrayal and destruction have come from traitors within and armies without? The son of perdition has been a liar since the beginning of time, and as all empires before you have fallen, littering the pages of history, so is yours. Your lives in an instant will flash before you. Repent and turn away from your evil schemes. Just as Judas sold my son Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver, so have you sold me out. For it is I, the living God, who gave you the victories over your foreign enemies when you sought to preserve that which was just. Are you so deceived and so seduced that you cannot see illuminated ones will utterly consume you, and their promises will fail to give you your expected outcome? That was to the Pentagon. Now, to the gate openers, I ask you a simple question. Who do you think bound the demons and fallen angels that you seek so feverishly in the first place? For it was I, the living God, out of love for my creation, mankind, that bound them at the first time, and will seal them in chains the final time. The promise of eternal life apart from me will not deliver you from my wrath and my judgments. And now I say to my generals, colonels, and captains, and all of those who still call themselves by my name, to the fighting men and women, let not your hearts be troubled, for I will strip the veneer off those who feign to serve me, so you can see the evil one's plans behind those who send you to your death. The time is at hand.
that you will have to do what I have put in your heart to do. You will have to resist the orders that have been given to you to destroy your brethren with all that is in within your reach. I will lay out my plans clearly before you in dreams and visions and holy angelic encounters, for I, the Lord, will protect and provide for your families as you seek me in prayer and fasting and seek me with all of your hearts.
That was 2 years ago, Doug, and today, obviously, you've all seen, or if you haven't seen, that Christians in the military can be tried and court-martialed. Ladies and gentlemen, how could I know that? I couldn't. A man has nothing except he receive it from above. And I'm going to speak a word of prophecy that was given to me. And Laura, God bless you. You know who you are that sent me this, and I'm going to share something. Obviously, I have, you know, tried to keep silent many times, especially, Doug, with all the trolls and shills you guys have in your, you know, whatever you call it, the chat room. And here's what the Lord said to me. And you can take this up with him. All you that feign Christians, if you hate the message of redemption and you hate Jesus, then the people that listen to your name diatribes and that stupid thing, you got to understand it's populated with paid professionals who are absolutely graded and given money to the degree that they can frustrate the purposes of God. Here's what the Lord said to me, okay? Take it up with him if you don't like it. You are anointed by me, and woe be to anyone who comes against you, for I will consume them with the fire which proceedeth out of my mouth, and with the strength of my wrath. Woe unto them that speak falsity against the bearers of my truth, for I will cause them to fall into great deception and darkness, so much so that they will despair of life itself. Now, look, my spirit, and to those who turn from me, that life becomes a source of torment. And the bottom line is, there is a lot of stuff given to me. And let me just put this into perspective, ladies and gentlemen. This is a matter of life and death for me. It's a matter of life and death for me. The one thing I want is to be accounted worthy. And when I started complaining before the Lord, and it made me so sick to be on talk radio because I thought, God, it's a waste of time, Lord. It's a waste of breath. And this is a true statement. God knows I speak it true. And I was saying, why will no one stand up for me? And the Lord said, Steve, if my people won't stand up for me, what makes they'll stand up for you? That settled it forever in my heart. That was what David Langford calls a nugget. That's what I call rhema. That's what the Bible calls rhema. So, ladies and gentlemen, when B comes out, having had his financial pedigree, and I got to tell you something, it is all I can do, thank you, intercessors, not to unload on not only the cowards, but the devils that are planning to kill their own military. I've been receiving emails all week from people in the military, literally brokenhearted that their sons and their daughters saying, we don't have any food, we don't have any medicine. And that's coming from ASTAN, ladies and gentlemen. And so when I tell you that years ago I gave a prophecy that the Lord is going to intervene because it is a plan to abandon our fighting men in the foreign fields and our fighting women, and you tell me that you get it, that you don't get it yet, that if you're a Christian, somebody says, well, they're not supposed to proselytize. In God we trust, not in Satan. And ladies and gentlemen, if you can't understand that if they will take on the Son of the living God, the King of glory, he who shed his blood, the absolute Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world, then I challenge you, you are not saved, and you are of your father the devil. And if that irritates you, then take it up with a living God, because let me say this, it is so late in the game. Information cannot save you. The blood of Jesus can save you. Information cannot deliver you. The blood of Jesus will deliver you, and the power of Jesus. You have authority. It's been given to you. But if you don't use it, won't use it, and just mock the very people that are trying to get you to grow up so you don't end up damned in hell, and there is an eternal hell. I have seen it with my own eyes. I have smelled it with my own nose. I have cried out to God to literally open your eyes and ears. And ladies and gentlemen, the Lord God of heaven rebuke every one of you that's on Doug's chat room or whatever you want to call it that hates the name of Jesus, that mocks and scoffs, there will come scoffers in the last day. You're living proof that the word of God is going out tonight. And B, God bless you, my brother. I mean, God has given you grace to share what you know, and I'm going to go silent now until you want me to step back in. But here's the deal. This is about getting people to grow up in Jesus. Jesus said it, and I got to share this with you. I was really bummed out, and I've had attitude problems. I'm confessing, I'm praying about them. So, oh, he's got a bad attitude. You bet your butt I have a bad attitude. It's because self-righteous individuals who claim to be Christians and want to argue about this and that, they do nothing. They haven't brought one person to Jesus. They haven't put their life on the line for 1 minute or 1 second. They haven't even got the guts, okay, to even use their real name. They've got to be Anonymous Believer 101. And one day when I was really mad and God was merciful, and thank God he understands there is such a thing as righteous indignation, I said, Lord, where are the people that are supposed to stand up for you? You told me, Lord, in your word, and I believe it with all my heart, that if men will not confess you before men, you will not confess them before your Father, which is in heaven. I said, Jesus, did I read that wrong? Do I not understand the heart of God? Do I not understand the moments of mercy we have left? And then somebody like B, God raises it up. He calls me. I don't say, B, let's go on the radio. He says, Steve, I have a compelling passion. Let me tell you something. His calls are too accurate. I know what he doesn't say. And I said to B, it doesn't do any good to, you know, to bear sources or tell this person did this or that, because you're dealing with people that don't even understand the basis of the gospel. It's the good news to those who are going to hell, and you have a limited amount of time to make a difference in your life, because I have stood before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, and when he looked down upon me, and I'm in heaven at that point, and says, why, when I've given you so much, have you done so little? The question is what are you going to say? Why, when I've given you so much, have you done nothing? You'll be saved. You'll go to heaven. But there are rewards of the righteous, and there are two sides to every coin. I can say this. If the living God is not, if he is not worth serving with all your heart, if he is not worth serving and standing up, and certainly God doesn't need me to stand up for him, but I thank God that I will not allow the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be blasphemed, well, I have breath. And again, I say to you on those boards and the chat rooms and the Christians that hang out in all of them, the Lord God of heaven rebuke you, because you have not stood up for the Lord Jesus, and you are absolute cowards, and the Lord rebuke you. V, go ahead.
Amen. That's if anybody in radio land heard that, that's what you call an anointing. You know, I mean, when I was really meditating and thinking about what I wanted to share with everybody today, you know, one of the things that weighed heavy is this. I mean, folks, let's be honest. What more can I possibly tell you right now? I mean, things are happening so quickly in the finance world, and as much as I love economics, as much as I love the geopolitical analysis that goes into global economics, as much as I love it, one of the things, the only thing that I love more than any of that is the Bible. The one thing that I love anything more than that is my relationship with Jesus Christ. Like I told you before, I used to be an atheist, okay? And I'm going to tell you right now, there are things that are happening, you know, globally. I mean, how much more can I possibly tell you? You open your eyes. Take a look across the pond, across the Atlantic. You see a continent in turmoil. Look over in Asia. What do you see? You see an island nation called Japan. They're imploding, which, by the way, as I said before, will be the domino. That will be the catalyst that will wipe this whole thing down. That's going to bring down the whole house of cards. And then you see the other nations in Southeast Asia. And in Russia, the Chinese, the Indians, you see how they're conversing and getting away from the dollar. You see the Australians moving away from the dollar. You see the Taiwanese looking at the U.S. and saying, okay, maybe, you know, we might need to figure out maybe some sort of unification with the mainland. You see the South Koreans thinking about, okay, what the heck is the U.S. doing? All they're doing is instigating the situation between us and the North Koreans. The world sees us because like I told you before, there's less and less people buying our lies. Nobody believes our nonsense anymore. The emperor has no clothes. So you're facing all this. This is a picture that's being faced that I'm painting in front of you guys. And I hope, and my prayer is that you guys understand this. But this is the picture. And if you don't know, and if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, there's no hope for you. None. Okay? The only way you're going to get through this is having that deep connection with God. Because I laid it out for you. The few times I've been on this radio program, and I don't even know how many alerts I've sent to Steve. But that's for you guys to wake up. For you guys to know that, you know what, the time is close. I mean, things are in motion. The ship is sinking. It's sinking. All right? It's already happening. So now it's the time where, you know, you really have to grow closer to the Lord. So my thing for most of you that listen to my voice, listen. You're going to face some of the hardest times. You're going to face it in this nation. We're going to go through some of the toughest times in the history of America. Now, I don't know all the details of what's going to happen with these gentlemen like Doug and Steve, you know, with DHS, with the military. You know, I don't know all that. I can just tell you the economics behind it. But I will tell you this. The economics behind it is the scaffolding, is the infrastructure of this whole entire thing called the New World Order. It is the infrastructure of the new paradigm, the new economy that's coming upon this earth. That I can tell you. I'm telling you right now that we are headed for a massive collapse. But what does that mean to you? What does it really mean to you? Some of you think, oh, it's not going to happen. Not in my lifetime. Nothing happened today and nothing's going to happen tomorrow. Well, nothing might not happen tomorrow. But you need to understand that we are living. Never before has there been a time such a time as this. Never before has there been a time that at any given day we are just one crisis away from total collapse. We are just one black swan event away from total chaos and collapse in the market. That's it. Just one. Just one. Okay, so you can imagine the vulnerabilities of this system. A system that's primped and primed by hot air. A system that's flooded by cheap money and easy credit. A system that's been pumped up and stimulated to oblivion. A system like that is fragile. This is the biggest bubble ever created. And when this thing pops, 80% of your wealth, 80% of you will be wiped out. You will become homeless. You will become beggared. You will have no options. But yet some of you listening to me who call yourselves Christians will somehow say, hey, you know what, that's never happened now. Because somehow you've lied to yourself. Somehow you believe the nonsense of some theory that was created in the late 1800s saying that before anything bad happens, you're going to get raptured out of here. I'm telling you right now, that's not going to happen. I'm telling you right now, there's some hardships coming. I'm telling you right now, how can...
I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to take you off your cadence there, but let me ask you this, V.
Go ahead.
Who knows? I mean, obviously, this regime, this Obama regime, they know. Do all the 535 of our elected representatives, do they know what's going on? Everyone?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The majority of them, okay, at the top of the leadership of both parties, okay, they're bought and paid for. They know what's going on, the top leaderships of both parties. They work in unison through coercion and subterfuge to get their agenda passed. But at the bottom level, to the rest of those that are your local representatives, state representatives, national representatives in both House and in the House and Senate, they're just so enamored by just getting money that they don't care. You see, they think that this gravy train is going to continue. So they're fools. They're no different than a person sitting in a pew in some prosperity church somewhere in America. No different, because they think the party is going to go on.
They think America is special. They think that America is somehow exempt from history. And not only that, Doug, they think somehow America is exempt from judgment. And that's what's going to cost them.
People like Bernanke and sure. others before him, where are they going to be when, on that fateful day, at that fateful moment, when the House of Cards comes crashing down? I mean, are they going to be running for their lives, or will they already be in their hideouts? And I've got a reason for asking that, because
sure.
I do sense that Americans are going to be absolutely outraged, at least the ones that we're touching tonight, the ones that know what's going on. I mean, they're going to want their pound of flesh, are they not?
Yep, I'll tell you right now. The plan is this. Helicopter Ben Bernanke and our boy Jamie Dimon, Lloyd Blankfein over at Goldman Sachs, Vikram Pandit, the guys that I just mentioned, and those are the heads of other investment and multinational banks, the big two pig to fail banks. Those guys are going to be out of the market and in their safe houses about 2.5 weeks before this thing comes down. That's the plan. They're going to be out. Look, we talked about gun sales to the mass public. Do you realize how many of the top traders in Goldman Sachs, how many executives, head administrators in some of the biggest multinational banks, they all have guns. They all have license to carry. They all have a safe house. They all have food. They all have gold and silver. And guess what else they got? They got Swiss francs. So if you got the elite of the world having gold, silver, Swiss francs, food, firearms, and ammo, think about it. They're already ready. They already have their safe houses in areas in South America. Some of them are way up north in Canada. Some of them are all the way in the East in Asia in certain spots. That's where they're at. Those are the three spots, northern Canada, southern America, Asia, and I hear rumors of a safe house somewhere in Africa and northern Africa, I think it is. I don't know which country. But that's where these guys are all going to scatter to. While the rest of us implode, while the rest of us eat each other. That's what they have planned. And once the chaos subsides, then they're going to come back and step themselves back in as saviors. They're going to pose as the saviors, and they said that they're going to implement their new system and how wonderful it is. And here's this new guy, and he's going to lead us out of this. He's got the plan. Let's all pledge our allegiance to this guy. He's a genius. But in the meantime, let's go build up this new economic infrastructure. We don't need the dollar anymore. Let's use this. That's what they have planned. I mean, many of these guys have houses in China. Many of these guys have houses in northern Canada. So some of them have safe houses in the most desolate north. You can only get there through helicopter or bush plane. I'm serious.
Wow.
2.5 weeks. They'll be there. 2.5 weeks before the absolute collapse happens. And they're going to be video conferencing before it happens. Everything's going to be looking at business as normal. Not even their own employees that are even close to them is going to even know. Not even their assistants are going to know where they're at. It's going to be another day. Another day. It's going to be a Friday when it happens, too. It's going to be a Friday. That's what they plan on doing. It's going to be a Friday. It's going to be in the middle of the afternoon. And the word on the street is some of these guys are in meetings that, over here, they're in a meeting over there. And not even their assistants will know where their assistants are. They won't even know where these guys are at. And then they're going to pull the plug. Markets will be shut down around 12 o'clock, 12:30. They're going to just freeze the market because the collapse is going to be so quick.
And then the second plan is they're going to immediately deploy troops to the New York Stock Exchange. They're going to deploy troops to some very key, like the New York Fed, and also J.P. Morgan's gold and silver vault that they have, which just happens to be right across the street from the New York Fed. And the key areas, Federal Reserve areas all throughout the country, and as well as Fort Knox. That they're going to deploy, they're going to secure those sites. That's the plan. That's
wow.
That's the financial end of it. I don't know the military end of it, but that's what I know.
Well, Steve, I think you can fill in the blanks with the military side. I think concurrent with the economic collapse, we're going to be subjugated.
Let me fill in the blanks. Already, the Canadians, we have a lot of Canadian listeners, and God bless all you believers in Canada. God bless every one of you believers in Australia, New Zealand. You guys have been sold out, too. God bless every single person who names the name of Jesus on every part of the globe, on planet and off planet. Only a few people get that. Hawk, you know what I'm talking about. O'Ears, you certainly know what I'm talking about, and so do you, Greg Evenson. The bottom line is that we are in the most critical point. Here's what my heart breaks over tonight, Doug. It's really true. Imagine being shown this, and imagine watching children slaughtered for their meat value. Imagine literally completely crazy people tearing people apart limb to limb just to take them anonymous. See, that's what V is telling you. Look, I have access to people through people. God has been so gracious. I know what one of the head guys for Goldman Sachs is doing in Montana. I know that. How can I know that? Because somebody knows him and he told him. And so the point is that if God is giving us the information, and I've said this before, ladies and gentlemen, you can laugh. You wonder why they call you zombies. It's because you're the walking dead and you don't know it yet. They laugh. He made a statement. He's not kidding. You're going to eat each other. Now, some people just can't handle that. I've been rebuked by saying, well, why do you put that horrible stuff on your website? I said, then take it up in the Bible, because you don't even begin to understand that we have the same mentality as Jerusalem when it was being surrounded by the Romans. The women would go up and basically flash on the top of the roofs. The Romans, they basically, I got to be careful here. They make lewd gestures. They absolutely thought it was a party. And look, I can't tell you all the stuff they did because it's just too bad. But the point is that they didn't know that they'd be raped and pillaged and plundered. And that's what's going on. If it doesn't break your heart that 60 million little babies have been sacrificed to Lucifer, then I don't think that you want to face Judgment Day when God said, why did your silence? Why were you silent when they were sacrificing my heritage to the powers of darkness? What are you going to say? Well, Lord, I believe it was a woman's choice. And God's going to say to you, I don't know what he's going to say, but pray that he doesn't say, depart from me, ye who work iniquity. The Bible is clear on lawlessness. Oh, God, I wish you would have listened to me, some of you, and repented, because I told you for 20 years, 9,000 hours, mocked, backbitten, betrayed, double-crossed. They didn't only stab me, they broke the knife off in my heart and in my back. And these were people that I called friends. So, ladies and gentlemen, if they did it to Jesus and they do it to us, then you've got to recognize that this is the most critical time. God knows we're pleading for you. Here's what Vince said. He said, Steve, I hear you loud and clear, brother. In order for one to be born again, the transformation from spiritual death unto spiritual life must take place. One must by faith die to the flesh in order to be born of the Spirit. Our sins are consumed in the holy fire and righteous blood of Christ Jesus. And he quotes Luke chapter 12. And I want to read that. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware ye the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. That's being played out before your eyes, and yet the pastors are silent. The pastors are cowards. Not all of them. Thank God I know some that aren't. And I don't know all of them that aren't, but thank God for those of you that aren't.
Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. I can't tell you how many people tap phones, wiretaps, trying to figure out who's telling us some of the stuff we're being told. I'll make it easy for everybody. You can't tap into the line until you know Jesus or understand the moving of the Holy Spirit. And how about this? And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast you into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him, talking about God. There is no fear of God in the land. The pulpits are basically meowman factories. And I had a letter, I had a wonderful email from Linda tonight, and you'll appreciate this, Doug. She's a listener, and I'm going to try and find it real quick. Let's see. No, that's not the right Linda. But anyway, she basically said, and here's a woman's cry. It's a woman's cry across the land. It's a woman of God. It's their cry that, oh, that the men of God would stand up. If you can act like a complete ass, go crazy with a football jersey, you know, do whatever you do, and get together and drink beer with the boys, you're a Christian, or basically go out and chase skirts, you're a Christian, or basically come home to mama after you went to, you know, Julie's house of pleasure, then you got something that you need to do. You need to repent. And the bottom line is we are in this thing now. We're in the countdown phase. It's just like the medals, okay? I posted probably, I think, 10 articles. I could be wrong. I think it's 10 articles from Eric King, from Eric Sprott, from Jim Sinclair, from V. I post all this stuff, and men who have impeccable track records, and I still get the whiners, okay? Well, if I take my 401k out or IRA out, I'll be penalized. How about when they cut your head off? Would you think that's a penalty? Hawk goes on the air, tells everybody that he was given access to a recording from a Canadian general mocking the Christians in America as they're taken off the concentration camps and bragging about the spoils of war. If you notice Boston, the guy's got helmet cams. Guess what that is, ladies and gentlemen? They come in shopping ahead of time. You understand? If they'll bend a woman over on the freeway and give her a gynecological examination, I'm trying to be very politically correct, or a proctological examination at the airport, don't you understand? You're being violated, you're being raped, you're being pillaged, and the next thing is plundered. When Pastor Langford said, we have been in bondage, we're going into captivity, do you understand what the word captivity makes? Meanwhile, dumb Christian girls are still posting on Facebook, and guess what? You're all being cataloged, you're being put into algorithms, and when the hordes come, they know, and I'm making this name up, that Julie Peterson, so if there's a Julie Peterson listening, it's not you, I'm just using that name, is already told, Zheng Zhaohun, you know, everything about her, and he says, I kind of like her, and so the bottom line is you're going into captivity. That's the thing. The thing is, when you play the whore as a nation, you get treated as whores. When you play the traitors, you get dealt with as traitors. And this is why, if there are any policemen listening tonight, please hear me, because I'm pleading for your ultimate life, and then I'm pleading for your souls. I'm not ashamed to say you guys have got to see it. Do you know why you don't have any ammo? Because you're considered on the blue list. Almost, let's see, 16 years ago, the man that gave me the red list, the blue list, and the green list, the man that told me about the United Nations curative process, the people that are writing into me and absolutely saying there are no drugs. We work in the hospitals. I'm an EMT. I'm a nurse. I'm a doctor. They're taking the drugs. They're keeping the drugs away from us. Guess what? The first people that go under curative process, and this was told 16 years ago on national radio, are the nurses and the doctors. Ladies and gentlemen, human compassion is a reflection of the love of God. Human mercy is a reflection of the mercy of God. Our finest traits still are given through the love of God. And yet humanity is being divorced from its very creator. It's not only the great divorce, it's the great transformation. Please tonight, please get off that insane cycle. Get out of the doldrums. Look, here's the deal. I told my right-hand man today, I said, D, it's not his name, it's just his initial. I said, D, you know the days are numbered where we won't be able to get any medals. And it's happening right now, ladies and gentlemen. Right now, I read all these stories. And it's what's not being told you is if you want it, you can get it. You have to pay a price, but you can get it. Then I get all the emails. Don't you know that your gold and silver is going to tanker in the street? They misquote scripture night and day. Yet they will trust a system that is absolutely pillaged them, plundered them. People who call me, they'll brag. I have $500,000 in a savings account. I said, well, then you're a pathetically poor steward. I said, what are they giving you, 0.5%? And sometimes you can hear the holding the breath. I say, okay. I said, so you've got $500,000 in a savings account or an IRA or a KEO or whatever, and you're barely making, you're not making anything. You're losing absolutely because of price inflation. And yet you tell me that you trust God, yet if you were to even go to the basis of the Word of God and go to the parable of the faithfulness of stewards, you'd be found to be an unfaithful steward. So the point is that, look, here's where the rubber meets the road. Anybody that wants to, if you're serious, you can email me. And I think people think, V, that you and I get together just to sell gold and silver. No, it's what the big boys are doing. I want to say something. Tonight, I have turned down probably a dozen people saying, I only have $1,000, should I buy silver? My answer is absolutely not. Buy food. Buy food. Buy food. Because we post the stories that farmers are withholding their food from the market in order to deal with having a real currency, and I just got to tell you something. What we're trying to do is get people to stand up and to act in their own best interest and their family's best interest. And by the grace of God, I've had some of the most amazing, generous men of God and women of God to make way for the people of God in so many ways. And again, you know, ladies and gentlemen, please, please take this to heart. Now, I'm going to turn it over to V, because, again, the thing is that, I don't know, make it as blunt. You know me, you've heard me enough. Give them the absolute bottom line. Look, if we're telling them they're going to eat each other, they're going to be totally void, you know, and I'm sure, oh, they're just fearmongers. Whenever you hear the word fearmonger, you are listening to neuro-linguistic programming, and 9 out of 10 times, that's going to be a fed or a shill. Look, Hawk doesn't lay his life on the line, or O-ears are these guys, because they feel like getting blasted. But their passion for Jesus, B doesn't come out of the world he's in, except his passion for Jesus. And we're not interested in listening to some guy say, well, can you throw some CDs together so you can help fund our ministry? My answer is no and hell no, you know? No, we're out to take, here's what's interesting. If the religious people won't come to him on God's terms, and God will go into the highways and byways. He's absolutely compelling me. And I'm hearing, and by the way, you guys, you can't see my emails, but I'm getting emails from Australia, New Zealand, and even God bless my Australian listeners. They're saying, go for it, mate, you know. Well, God knows we're going for it, and I don't take his name in vain. I take it in honor, appreciation, love, and adoration. I am so sick of the first commandment being broken day in and day out by those devils of press. And I want to say one last thing. If you're listening to mainstream news media, you're already mind controlled. You don't understand infrasonics, you don't understand mind control, electromagnetic mind control, and you're having your opinions formed by the very people that will be whispering in the infrasonic range. Don't resist. Resistance is futile. Give up. We all know there are many ways to God. Ladies and gentlemen, the Pope, who has just come on, and I saw the flack that Tom Horn and Chris Putnam took. They called it before the previous Pope resigned. They called it, and people said, see, he's not the Catholics. I said this when I first went on talk radio, and I'm not a Catholic pastor. I said the Catholics are going to have the greatest war in the church between the traditional faith and the new faith. Tom Horn comes on, interviews 2 dozen Jesuits, and they're all saying the same thing. Lucifer's coming back, and Lucifer's God. And at least they get it, and the people of God are truly consumed. God said, hey, you are offended, then you're offended to God, because he said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And look, I don't need any cheerleading. God knows I don't want it, I don't care for it, and I can certainly do without it. But you need to decide, is Jesus worth everything, and are you standing up for Jesus and doing everything you can? Because I'll tell you what, he's more than a slogan, he's more than a bumper sticker, and he's more than a T-shirt. Go ahead, V.
Well, you know, the thing is, like, you know, with me, it's how many times could I possibly come on? You know, how many times do I have to come on board and tell the listeners and tell the audience members, you know, what you need to do, what you need to watch out for, and you see the everything that I'm laying out happen. You know, I told you months ago, gold's going to hit anywhere between the $1,200 to $1,400 an ounce range. When you had the largest firms, when you had multi-billionaires telling you, no, it's going to skyrocket to $3,000, I said, it will, but not right now. And again, I was proved correct. So, you know, how many times could I come on board and tell you that we're screwed? How many different ways could I come on and tell you that you're screwed?
I just want to say this, V, and Steve, and V especially. I got to tell you, you're talking to probably double the audience as April 1st of this year. So, a lot of new listeners. So your words are not falling on. You don't think of yourself as repeating yourself. A lot of new listeners just.
Oh, perfect. Okay, good. Well, to the new listeners that are listening right now, go back, listen to the January 11th interview. The March 22nd interview, the April 15th interview. Go back to SteveCoe.com, look at all the archives. Folks, let me tell you something. There's a reason why God put me, Steve, Doug, and Joe together to minister to you guys, to wake you guys up. Look, Steve said this to me once, and first I didn't believe him until every so often I look at my computer, I'm like, and I take my computer to the kitchen in the morning and say to my wife, honey, look at this. I'm one of the most, I don't know if you guys know this, but I am one of the most ripped off guys on the internet. Steve, is that not true?
That is absolutely true. They don't even make any bones about it. They just rip you off lock, stock, and barrel.
That's it. I've had my predictions, you know, I write something and verbatim, you'll see a few weeks later, you'll see my very same article appear on Forbes. It'll appear on Wall Street Journal. It'll appear on Bloomberg.com. And literally my title being ripped from the headlines. And this is what's happening. So, look, folks, what I'm trying to tell you is this, and what Steve's trying to tell you, and what Doug's trying to tell you, and what Joe's trying to tell you is this. You have to prepare. You have to get your spiritual lives in order. You have to get, you know, yourself ready, because there's a lot of things that are occurring that we have no control of. And, you know, only God has that control. And it's important for us to make sure that we live a way that you know, we see and we are able to discern the times and the seasons. It's very important. It's very, very important because, you know, this week, you know, we're having, you know, some developments economically. Now, one of the things I said in my alert that I said, told Steve is that the next 10 months are going to be critical. God, you got to watch it, because right now we're moving from what's been predictable to right now going to a very unpredictable time in the marketplace and the economics globally. So, you know, I can only tell you so many ways, and how many times can I possibly tell you get gold, get silver? I'm sure you know you guys have heard of it so many times. But, you know, get the food, get yourselves ready, because there's so many things happening. Now, one of the things that me and Steve have been working on, and, you know, I don't know if we're ready to announce this out there, but, you know, because of the situation in this world, because of the way things are going, you know, me and Steve are actually working on something to really help people out and help people out in a very personal way. And, we're still trying to get all the bugs out, but, you know, things will come to fruition very soon, God willing. But in the meantime, you know, people need to just be prepared. You know, just be prepared and understand that, you know, there's an overarching theme. And that overarching theme is the theme of preparedness. You know, I don't need to tell you what's going to happen next. You guys already know it. You want to know what happens next? Go to my January 11th interview. You want to know what happens next? Go read a couple of my alerts. That's what's going to happen next in the marketplace. That's what's going to happen next economically. It's already been done. I'm more concerned about where your heart is right now. Where is your heart? You know, where is your heart? Is your heart moving towards God? You know, is your heart, you know, are you, you know, wanting to break free of the things that hold you. You know, let me tell you this. I mean, I ran into a lot of one of the things I love is ministering to men. Okay, because especially young men, trying to mentor them, trying to lead them right. And I've heard Pastor Langford mention this on one of his emails. And he said that one of the biggest emails that he would get all the time, repeatedly, are basically men that are addicted to pornography. And I think on one of my first interviews on January 11th, you know, I think Doug asked me a question about, you know, why are people so disconnected? Why is, you know, everybody just in a lackadaisical attitude? And I simply stated that it's because the men are gone. There are no, you know, the real men are being either, you know, spiritually lobotomized, okay, or spiritually castrated, you know, for lack of a better word. And so one of the ways that the enemy has done is through pornography. This is kind of funny. Folks, we live in a country, we don't really make anything anymore. Our biggest export right now globally, apart from our currency, our worthless paper that we, you know, ship all over the world, the two other big exports that we have is pornography and recyclables and trash. Those are our biggest exports. Okay, so we've become the mystery Babylon that's going out and polluting the world. And I've met so many guys. Okay, I want you to think about this. Pornography is a very destructive thing. And you can see the destruction in the family life and the destruction in the church is almost similar. What I mean by that is this. Look at the divorce rate in society. Almost like, what, 50%? Look at the divorce rate in the church. It's also very, very close to that. Okay? And a lot of people, I don't even know why I'm being led this way, but, you know, I'm just going to tell you. If you're struggling with whatever addiction, be it pornography, be it drugs, be whatever the heck it is, I want you to listen to me very carefully. You will never be able to outpray your sin. You will never be able to outread your sin. What I mean by that is, you know, you commit a habitual sin, and all of a sudden you want to start reading the Bible, and you want to pray a little bit more. Now, let me tell you the secret to this. You have to learn to outlove your sin. What do I mean by that? You're going to have to learn in these days, with everything that's coming down on you, you got to shake free, brother. You got to shake free, sister. You got to shake free from the shackles because of what's coming down. You're going to have to learn to love Jesus more than your sin. You're going to have to learn to love him more than your family. You're going to have to learn to love him more than your finances, your house, your future plans, whatever the heck it is. You're going to have to learn to do that because it's so imperative. You don't have much time. You can't. The things that are occurring right now, I wish I could look at you and tell you, you know what, you got another 5 to 10 years. I wish I could tell you that. But when I'm looking at these trends, when I'm looking at the numbers, and I'm breaking down every single market and every single nation geopolitically what's going on, and I'm looking at all this, I can only see and take a step back, and I feel the Lord so put it so strongly in my spirit that, hey, you only have 10 months. And I'm telling you right now, the next 10 months, and if anybody got you want to etch this into your calendar, go right ahead. The next 10 months, he is telling you this. The next 10 months are going to be so critical. You guys are going to see things happen economically, the likes of which I've never seen. That overloaded carcass called Europe is going to die. And when it dies, it's going to spill over. But what the thing that's going to put Europe and America, the nail is going to be Japan. That's going to be the catalyst. I can't emphasize it to you enough. I just can't. No other country is over-leveraged in dollars. No other country is over-leveraged in euros. No other country has over a 220% debt-to-GDP ratio like Japan. It's an inevitability. And that's going to be the thing that's going to bring it all down. And that's why you're hearing of wars and rumors of wars. Because I told you, these Keynesian maniacs, these central planning economists who think they know it all, these crazy lunatic politicians feel that if they can usher all of us into a bigger war, maybe it can stimulate our way out, another bubble, another rally, another profit for the top 1%.
that we could somehow insulate our way out again from this economic turmoil. And I'm telling you right now, it's not going to work. Never before in the history of finance and economics, in the history of man, has the world ever seen such levels of debt. Never. So this is not a cycle. This is a cataclysm. This is not a trend. This is a slaughterhouse. This is not just a blip on the radar or a simple little fix. This is the precipice on a cliff that we are speeding over. That's where we are. So you need to decide what you need to do. You need to decide, like Steve said, if you got $1,000, yeah, get food. By all means, get food, get water, get what you need, because it's going to be very important for you. I'm telling you right now, I have this weird feeling. There's a lot of prepping going on by a lot of people. I mean, we see National Geographic with their Preppers documentary. And I'm telling you right now, they are coming for your food stores. You know, they're going to come for whatever is going to be in your house. And if you can hide it somewhere, have it in another location, I recommend you do so. Okay? I had an email sent to me where a lady asked, well, what about if you're a foreigner and you're living in the U.S., will your bank accounts be seized? Absolutely. Another person asked me, if you have things in a safe security box in the U.S. and the U.S. bank, will that be seized? Absolutely. Folks, you need to understand the difference between currency and money. Currency is somebody else's legal obligation. So if you have currency in a bank account, okay, what is, when you put money in a bank, that money is no longer yours. It is a loan that you make to the bank. And the bank, through fractional reserve lending, lends it out 9 times. The currency, the dollar you have, that paper, is currency. That's somebody else's legal obligation. So you're holding somebody else's debt. So when that somebody else recalls the debt and decides to wipe out your bank account, they are in all legal right to wipe out your bank account. Look, 60% of Cypriot people have their bank accounts gone. 60% of their bank vanished, but they're supposed to only take 20%, wound up being 60. Oops, little bit of an accident there. We kind of mixed up. We moved the decimal point a little bit further. Sorry. That's what they're telling the people over there. And it's the same thing that's going to happen here. You need to understand, you don't have any money. I don't care if you had $5 million in the bank liquid or you got $5 in the bank liquid. You don't, in the eyes of the elite, in the eyes of the bankers, you do not have any money because that's their money. It's their legal obligation. That is the definition of currency. Do you guys understand? That's the definition of currency. Real money is gold and silver. That, many of you are wondering, you know, should I buy, should I not buy? You know, just make a decision soon, please. But when you are having somebody else's legal obligation, and you're taking somebody else's legal obligation, and you open a bank account thinking, oh, it's my bank account. It's my savings account. I'm going to put money in my savings account. No, you're taking somebody else's legal obligation, and you're making a loan to another institution. All the while, you're deceived in your head because you don't know the terminology that it's not your money. Think about it. It's not. Now, some of you living in a house, oh, it's my house. I paid it off. It's my mortgage. Oh, it's your house, all right? Just don't pay the property tax, and you'll find out real quick whose house it really is. You see, folks, you don't own anything anymore. Just like what Thomas Jefferson said, if you don't fight this, these bankers and these corporations that grow up around them, you know, was more dangerous than a standing army. That one day your children will wake up beggars on a land that their fathers conquered. And that's exactly what's happening. They swindled you. They make you think that if you work like a dog and live the American dream, and let me tell you something, folks, in order to live the American dream, you got to first fall asleep. You buy a house, you have a mortgage. Oh, I paid my mortgage up to my house. No, it's not.
No, it's not. You pay a property tax. You don't pay a property tax, you find out real quick whose house it is. Oh, I'm going to put my money in my bank account. It's not your money, and it ain't your bank account. As soon as you put it in the bank, your money's gone. You have no legal right to your money anymore. Think about it. That's the illusionary life you live in. And what do? You work like a dog 40, 50 hours a week. You get taxed to oblivion. You put some money away on a 401k with some company matching funds. You try to take out some, you try to put some investment vehicles here, a couple of annuities there. You try to save for your kids' college. It's all a scam. You guys are just being scammed on all levels. And that's the one thing I don't, it boggles my mind that people just don't get it. Okay? The only way you're going to circumvent the system is you got to go outside of it. You have to know how the system works. And I just laid it out to you. It's not your money. It's not your bank account. It's not your house. None of this is yours. But you know the only thing you can really own that's really yours? Precious metals. Ah, think about that. Think about that for a second. You could also own real tangible assets. Think about that for a second. Things to barter with. Food, that stuff you can own. You have to learn in these next coming weeks, in these next coming months, to understand how to move and operate in the system, how to circumvent it. So you can still live in it and work in it, but your personal wealth and the quality of life for your family is not tied to it. And that's what's important. And I hope I made that clear. Now, Doug, Joe, Steve, if I'm not clear on that, just let me know if I need to elaborate on that a little more.
Yeah, I have one question. What about confiscation of metals?
Sure.
No, it's not.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry, you said a confiscation of metals?
Yeah, I mean, it's happened before. What's to stop them from doing that again?
Absolutely nothing. And they're going to try, and the way things are going right now in the gold and silver market that are drying up, they might try to confiscate metals. But the problem is this. Confiscating metals logistically is extremely, extremely difficult. In the past, in 1933 when FDR, wanted everybody's gold, things were a little bit more easy. You had a populace that was, we're all in this together mentality, and they patriotically, many of them gave up their gold, okay? The smart people back in 1933 actually took their gold, they buried it, or they hid it, okay? To do that today, can they do it? Yes. Is it possible to do or easy to do? It's not, because it is a logistical nightmare. You got way too many people that have way too many gold, way too many silver. It's a logistical nightmare to go after all this. Besides, the bankers and the Fed already made it clear they got bigger fish to fry. They're more worried about your firearms right now. What do I mean by that? Simple. If they were to do a sting at your house, you're a person of interest, and they're able to, seize your bank assets, they, come down to your house, they do a thorough search of your house, and if they so happen to find your gold and silver, then they'll take it. But if you have gold and silver, and you're somebody who's kind of like off the grid, kind of flying under the radar, they're not even going to bother you. Because it's a logistical nightmare. This is what I've been told. Because I've asked them this, and I asked one of my sources, did you ever come back for the gold and silver? And honestly, the gentleman shook his head and goes, he said, V, it's a logistical nightmare. We're not going to waste our time and our manpower on doing something like that. It's a task that's just way too huge to tackle. They might put out a little warning out there saying, we want everybody, if you have precious metals, to please, give them it, or something like that, like a buyback program. They might do a buyback program. That's what they did with them in 1933. What they did, they suppressed the price of gold down to $25 and told everybody to come in and we'll give you some cash value for it. They would do the same thing. You know what? Stupid people are going to line up with their gold and silver, and they'll gladly take some paper fiat at the fraction of the value of their gold and their silver. They'll go to the end. That's how they're going to buy it back. But in terms of them actively coming out and trying to find who has gold and silver, that's not going to happen.
Hey, V, I'm gonna share something with you. A lot of the people that I know now, I'm in a different world than you are, and you know that. But I can tell you point blank that when gun owners are, it's really hard for gun owners to get this. They're not coming to take the gun owner's guns away. They're coming to take the gun owners away. I said, it's not a matter of taking away the guns. It's a matter of blowing away the gun owners. Greg Evenson and I independently got the yard farming. That's when they use bombers or Hellfire missiles or whatever their greeting card of the day is. But what they're going to go after, ladies and gentlemen, you all need to hear me who have your gold and silver at whatever depository in Maryland or Delaware or Phoenix or Seattle or whatever. I'll give you two words, okay? MF Global. And the thing is that this is why there's so much being taken out of the COMEX. Here's the point. I know a lot of people that, and obviously I've been in the gold business, and obviously I was a guy telling people at $285 an ounce when I was on talk radio and $3.85 to buy it. People called me a money-grubbing fear-monger. Well, guess what? I basically made my living not by selling the metals, but buying and selling them on the exchanges when it was honest. And I also practiced what I preached. But I got so amazed at people that have never owned an ounce of gold, or never owned an ounce of silver, telling me you can't eat it. I can right now take 1 ounce of gold to Argentina. I can go to Argentina on 1 ounce of gold. I can eat for 200 days, two meals, having steak and potatoes for two of the meals. Now, obviously, I'm not drinking because I don't drink and stuff, but I can drink water. So you tell me that thing. You said something important. Ladies and gentlemen, here is the plan. The plan is that they automatically believe, and I have been told this by the gentleman that paid for his life, okay? He paid to give the information for his life. So I'd say he was a real believer. And by the way, he loved Jesus. His first name was Gary. The bottom line is that they know who has the guns. They have divided up every part of the country into sections. They have algorithms, and they assign a given amount of people. Do you think maybe Boston was overkill? Well, imagine that you have 20 gun owners in a 200 unit housing division. The 20 gun owners are known. Here's what the issue is. It's not the U.S. military. The U.S. military is being demoralized. It's being defunded. It's being destroyed. It is being destroyed. If it doesn't make you angry that 1 million vets are languishing for their payments, are suffering horrible things. That's why I said to the Lord, I said, God, you said we do greater things than we do. You give me a jet, and you give me the anointing, and I'm not asking just for the jet. I'm saying, I will go to every VA hospital under the anointing, Lord, and I'll lay hands on every one of them until I drop from exhaustion. They can pump me full of speed, and then I'll go on, and I'll keep praying. If you'll heal them, Lord, I'll do that. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm as serious as you can get. Thank God for the wonderful men and women who have stood with me. And I'm not pleading for anything. You know, one of my critics said, well, at least he doesn't have money for himself. No, I don't. I get to make it for myself so I can give it away. And the point is that the people, listen to me, those of you who are my clients and you have had me send your medals to depositories in Delaware, you guys know who I'm talking about, or send it to someplace else or bought it from XYZ or this company or that company, you're going to lose it. You don't take a rocket scientist to know that if they know that all the gold in the hills is in a certain depository, they're going to hit that depository. And it doesn't matter if you're Russian, Chinese, East German, West German, you know, French, it doesn't matter. They know where those pools or hoards are. So, ladies and gentlemen, understand this. They're going to go for the easiest stuff first. If they come to your house, they kill you, they come in and ransack everything, and that's what they're going to do. That's what Hawk heard in the clear. So my source is different than V's, okay? V primarily is dealing with the financial guys and their view of too much hassle. If they're going to go for every gun in America with 485,000 prepositioned Chinese, Russians, and every assorted 56 nation flavor of people here who are just salivating to come in and let us take a plunder. Listen, when David Langford said we have been in bondage, that's a sin, but we will be facing physical captivity, being taken away. You can read about the prison camps in the Arctic. You can read about the gulags. Have you ever read Alexander Solzhenitsyn? If you haven't, you better do it. Because what you're playing with is not only your life, you're playing with the lives of your wife, you're playing with the lives of your children, their grandchildren, and if you're more concerned with what they care, and I know what I speak. Listen, I know what it's like to be in a family with, I don't know how many people are in my family, probably dad, 10 or 12, and probably 2 of the 12 get it. 2 of the 12 think it's eminent, okay? And it's interesting, the 2 are the ones that are in the Word, and not only do they listen to me, but everybody else, it's eat, drink, and be merry. I've got my job, I've got my kids, oh, and I need to plan for their college education. Listen to me. I know the heartache. I physically have been allowed to experience the heartache of those of you that are in this thing alone. And I'm not envious, but I'm blessed by those who walk together. I have seen intercessors whose husbands are so bloody ignorant, if they were any dumber, they'd be a stump, okay? Or if the woman says, honey, let's prepare, that'll interfere with my golf game. God bless every man and woman, those of you who are walking in agreement, and those of you who are solo, God will step into your life, to the widows, to the single moms, to the single fathers. He will make up the difference. Listen, we can't do this on our own. All the gold and silver, I love it. My critics will be all say, well, he says gold and silver, Sadie. To hell with that. I have never said that. I said it will enable you to get what you need. And I've also told people, just for the record, if you've already bought the metals when they're low and you need money to buy a place in the woods or you want to rent a place in the woods, thank God I've got believing women who are telling their husbands, this is what we need to do. It is interesting to me that there are more believing women that get the latest of the hour than the men. Because I've got to tell you something. I have never seen a wimpier display of manhood than what I deal with just about every day. Just about every day. Just about every day. And yes, they will confiscate the metals when they come for the guns.
Exactly. And Steve, it seems like a common reoccurring theme with emails. I get the same kind of emails and same kind of comments. You got an interesting question for V from Jan in Saratoga Springs, New York. V, are you there? V? The Gorilla Economist? Did we lose V?
I'm still here.
No, I'm here. I apologize, gentlemen. I have the mute button on, and I'm telling you guys that I'm here. Go ahead, Doug.
No. You know what? We do that all the time, so don't worry about that. Jeff from Saratoga Springs writes this. Read your resume or bona fides on HomelandSecurityUS.com, which is our website. And her question is really simply, what event or series of events, obviously you're fired up, you're saying things are, I'm not paraphrasing now, it's a quite lengthy email, that pretty much you feel things are imminent, about to happen, ready to happen, yet you've been in the business for as long as you have. What event or series of events tipped you to the point where you're at right now, puts you in the mindset where you're at right now? Kind of an interesting question.
Sure. 2008, it was actually 2007. 2007, I was in Dallas, Texas. It was July. Okay, July. And then July, I heard, through the grapevine at that time, what they plan on doing with the market. And they were going to plan on taking the market come October of 2007. They're going to take it all the way up to 14,000 points, the Dow. And then they're going to pop the subprime bubble. And the plan was they're going to, take it up to 14,000 points, let all the suckers get in. And that subprime bubble that they've been chopping up and selling as AAA security the world over is going to bring it all down. And then during the middle of the crash, they're going to ask for more bailouts. And they're going to ask for more and more vertical integration. That was the thing that tipped me up because I got that from a very, very good, reliable source. That opened up my eye a lot.
Wow.
And that's when I realized that, you know what, this is, just call this whole thing a rigged casino is an understatement. This is the most devilish Ponzi scheme ever pounced upon humanity in history. So when I saw that they were going to collapse this whole thing, and then I began to see systematically banks going out of business, when I seen the shotgun mergers where a bank like you had Bear Stearns, and I talked to a gentleman named Steven, who was in charge, was one of the head guys over at Bear Stearns. When Bear Stearns went under, I spoke to him directly. I said, Steve, how was it going through that whole process? It was a nightmare. They allowed Bear Stearns to go under, and then they allowed the good parts. They allowed J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs to come in and pick apart all the good, tasty morsels that was left of Bear Stearns without taking on any of Bear Stearns' risks. When I started seeing shotgun mergers of, you know, WaMu getting taken over by J.P. Morgan, and then J.P. Morgan not again, you know, not, you know, being liable for much of the risks that was affecting WaMu, that's when I realized, you know, something's really different. When I, you know, we all heard at that time back in 2007, you know, the suppression of the gold and silver market. We didn't realize how true it was. When you start realizing the derivative markets, when I started studying, you know, the derivatives and how enormous of a problem it has become, I said to myself, either A, these guys are just flat out lunatics and crazy and they don't know what they're doing and they're really stupid, or B, this is something planned and orchestrated. Those are the two conclusions. I ruled out that they're not stupid. Okay? They're not stupid. Because if you're stupid, it was an accident, it happens here, and it's over, it's done with. But when you see a recurring pattern of it happening over and over again, and those same people that are causing the problems are getting more and more powerful, getting more and more stronger, are getting in much stronger positions of financial power and authority, you start realizing this is not some accident like the media wants you to believe, but this is a planned and orchestrated takedown of the U.S. economy and the global economy as a whole. But that's what tipped me off. So the sign of when I'm on this radio, literally I'm at the end of my rope saying, you know, it's imminent. It's, you know, it's coming down. It's because it is. We're in the sign. We're in it. You know, I have nothing else to say but that we are in it. There's the next sign, and folks, I'm telling you, you know, one of the things I said, the next time that all of us will see gold and silver moonshot to, you know, $5,000-$6,000 an ounce for gold, you know, $500-$700 an ounce for silver. The next time you all will see those numbers will be during an economic collapse. That's what's happening. Those are the signs, and that's what bit me off.
Wow. Okay.
Hey, Doug, I want to bring up something that's really critical, and I'd like to thank you know, two of the listeners for bringing it up, and this is the time now to bring it up. Pastor Dane, who said, I've been away from the computer for a few days and haven't really kept up with the headlines, but one that caught my eye tonight was of Obama declaring today, May 1st, Loyalty Day. Of course, May Day adequately describes the State of the Union, and he has to beg for loyalty in this mess. But on a far more sinister note, I find it very odd and very fitting of the power behind the throne that Loyalty Day has been declared on Beltane, the Luciferian High Holy Day. Dane writes, no such thing as coincidence. And then basically the other, my other listener, and I told him, I got to go at this when the Lord leads, and he was right. He said, everybody needs to know they need to be in serious prayer because we're talking Loyalty Day on Beltane. Hello, that's the Annunciation to the Illuminated Ones, or as Hawk calls them, the Lucy Horrors, that the Great One is here. Now, the Great One is another name for Lucifer incarnate. And the fact that it is a loyalty day, you know, and a Luciferian High Holy Day, and yet, you know, Resurrection Sunday, and look, I'm not into Easter, celebrating Easter. I've gone on record as saying I believe that the birth of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus should be celebrated every day of the year, because to the people that accept him as Lord and Savior, he's born into their hearts at that moment. And to the people that accept him as Lord and Savior, they have eternal life at that moment. So they have an empty grave. And so what we're talking about right now is we're talking about a human sacrifice. And, you know, at midnight, and it's probably close to that, there are a lot of little people that are going to be sacrificed, or a lot of people that are going to be slaughtered. And what I pray is God's fury and indignation, O Lord God of heaven, even right now, I call all heaven and earth to bear witness, Lord, against me this night, if I do not stop by whatever means and ask, Lord, for your warring angels to be released, Lord, and to literally intervene. Lord, I'm serious, and I couldn't be more serious. And, Lord, I do not beg. I just simply declare it, Lord, that you will interfere, that you will cause total havoc in all the sacrifices of all these innocent ones in Jesus' name. Oh, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but, God, please, in the pleadings of these last moments, I don't know the time, I don't know if I've got a day, 100 days, or 1,000 days left, but, Lord, this day, God, let my voice be lifted to heaven, knowing, God, that I've had to repent so many times under my breath, but, Lord, in Jesus' name, you said before, America was destroyed, Lord, by the Russians and Chinese, which I have preached for 20 years, Lord, and now we're right there. You would reveal the sins of the leaders. God, you just openly displayed the God of America, and it is not the God of heaven. Little g of America. And, Father, loyalty day, loyalty to who? Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that, as the scripture declared, in that same day did the Lord rain down fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you loose your warring angels to literally interfere to any extent and all extent, Lord. And God, you know better than I do how to deal with it. But, oh, God, the indifference, Lord. Oh, God, the absolute hardness of hearts. Oh, God, the disconnect from reality. Oh, my Savior, the disconnect from, or even concern of the lives of the innocent, Lord. The church has got blood on its hands. The church is steeped in blood, Lord. 60 million innocents, their blood cries out, oh, God. Oh, God, intervene tonight, I pray, Lord. Stop it, Jesus. And, Father, I pray again, Lord, and if this is the last prayer I pray on earth, I pray, God, that for 72 hours, Lord, for 3 days, Lord, just as you were in the belly of Sheol, Lord, I pray that you would absolutely release the people from the curses they have brought on themselves, and that the Holy Spirit would convict, give the Holy Spirit freedom, Lord, to convict one more time. I don't care if they're Luciferian, Satanists, or politicians. They seem to all have something in common. But God, give them space to repent. But Lord, if they don't repent in that 72 hours, Lord, then God, let the people see, Lord, that God, your hand is not short and that it cannot save, your ear is not deaf that it cannot hear, and God, that you judge nations in time and space, individuals in eternity, but rise up, O Lord God, in your indignation. For Lord, you said you are angry at the wicked all the day long. Father, people don't even know of your character. They don't even care. They no longer care, God. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask for a miracle tonight, God. I ask for resurrection power and liquid stainless steel and testicles of titanium. I'm not kidding, Lord, to be given to the men of God. I ask for a supernatural endowment of power. And God, I don't have to apologize for that. You said in your word, God, that anybody who's wounded in the stones cannot enter into the tabernacle of God. In other words, Lord, raise up the men of God so they can stand in your presence as intercessors, as the high priest in their homes, as those who would say, no one's going to get to my kids, no one's going to get to my wife. And God, I don't care if I got to take 100 rounds, Lord. Let me give them 1,000 before the 100 bring me down. Because your word, oh God, says if one will chase 1,000, two will chase 10,000. Father, in Jesus' name, God, I ask for a move of your spirit. I ask for the release of your angels. And, oh God, I ask that the people's heart would be broken, Lord, over their complacency, over their apathy, and over their indifference, God,
as the very Son of God is mocked daily, is rebuked, and today war has been declared. Oh God, thunder from heaven, Lord. Let the lightning bolts of Almighty God's righteous indignation fall upon these evil and wicked progenitors of hell, is my prayer, Lord. And God, I don't need a cheerleader anymore, Lord. I am the cheerleader for you, Father. Because, God, when a shout goes up out of the camp, that's when you move. And, oh, God, I pray for every believing man and woman and child, Lord, across the world, that, God, you will visit them tonight. Lord, you said today is the day of salvation. You said today is don't harden your hearts. Yet, oh, God, only you by sprinkling living water. And, Father, of course, Lord, I know I get mocked by even those people that taunt me and say, why do you care, Steve? God, I don't know why I care, to be honest with you, but I care because you told me. And, Father, that's good enough for me, Lord. God, you've heard me tell people in no uncertain terms, yet they call him an ambiguous, just more blah, blah, blah. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, may the person who said that on that board, may his tongue cleave to his mouth. Literally, may he be struck literally with deafness, Lord. And may every critic, every mocker and scoffer, may they be literally smitten, Lord, with deaf and dumbness for the next 72 hours. God, so they have to sit with their thoughts and not just with their horrific flame of defilement out of their mouth in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I thank you, God, and I'm serious, Lord. I couldn't be any more serious, and I couldn't pray with any more intensity than tonight. Move upon your people. Oh, God, take the scales off their eyes, I pray, in Jesus' name. Be with Henry Gruber, Lord, in Jesus' name. Be with Henry tonight, Lord, in Korea. God, you know he is the most wonderful, wonderful brother that walks the walk and talks the talk. I ask that your angel literally encamp around him in Jesus' name. Go ahead, V.
Very well said. Wonderful prayer, Steve. Wonderful prayer. If Doug, Joe, or even Steve, if any of you guys have any questions from the listeners, feel free to ask. Otherwise, I'll carry on.
Go ahead. I don't have any questions over here.
This I'll ask you, V. I don't know if you read this book. It's Surviving the Economic Collapse. It was based on the firsthand experience of a 2001 economic collapse in Argentina. And I don't know whether you've seen it, but it was it's written by a gentleman who was there and obviously back in December of 2001 witnessed the collapse of their monetary system and how their money was pegged to the U.S. dollar, and then it wasn't. And, of course, you had the presidential resignation and all this. And from what you're saying, this is going to look tame by comparison. I mean, that is tame by comparison to what's going to be happening here. Is that a fair and accurate assessment?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We did back in 2001 with the dot-com bust and the economic downturn then. We didn't have the debt to GDP ratio that we have right now. That was just due to the hello? Hello?
Yes. Hello.
I'm sorry. Yes. We didn't have the debt to GDP ratio that we have right now. We didn't have the monstrosity of derivatives as it is in its full array and its full power like as we do now. We didn't have, the crazy wars and the reckless spending that we have right now. So when this current economic situation blows through, it's going to make not forget 2001, Doug. It's going to make 1933 or the 1929 collapse look like a Sunday school picnic. And one thing I tell people this. Back then, 90% of the people back in 1929 lived in the farmland, lived in the rural countryside, and only 10% lived in the city. And back then, 7.5 million people starved to death. Okay, today, 90-some-odd percent of the people, actually 97-some-odd percent of the people, live in the cities or suburbs surrounding some sort of major metroplex. and the rest live in the rural countryside, farms, and things of that sort. And out of that 3 to 5% that live in the rural countryside, less than 1% of those are self-sustainable. So when this collapse occurs, I cannot even tell you if they're not prepared. I can't even fathom the multitude of millions that will simply just starve to death. It's horrible. I mean, think about it. As I'm talking to you right now, there are children, small children, that are dumpster diving with their parents for food. As I'm talking to you right now in Greece, in Spain, in Portugal, all over Europe, think about it. It's coming. It's already here. Some states in this country, you know, it's happening here. I mean, it's unbelievable.
All they have to do is look at how the people behave on Black Friday to get a glimpse of what will really happen. They're fighting for actual life-saving necessity.
Oh, God, absolutely. See, the thing that's going to really drive people over the edge is when they start feeling those hunger pangs in their stomach, or when their children begins to cry with hunger in the middle of the night because they have nothing to eat. That's what's going to drive these people to the edge. People, I mean, think about it. People are killing each other so they can get, you know, $50 off a piece of television. Imagine what it's going to be like when they have no food on the table. Imagine what it's going to be like when they cannot, you know, barter. They cannot buy anything in order to sustain or pay for their family. It's going to be horrible. You're going to see, it's going to be a level of chaos I haven't yet to see. It's like in any other time in history. It's going to be pretty horrific. I feel very, very sorry for those who are living next to major cities. If you're living in like New York City, Chicago, you know, Miami, at Los Angeles, please get the heck out of there. Have a second zone to go through, at least, you know, an hour, 2 hours away. Get out of there. Because I said this before, but man is not designed to live far from his food source. So when you have places like Manhattan, where everything is brought in, where everything's trucked in or shipped in or flown in, when the collapses occur, I don't want to be anywhere near New York City. It's going to be a madhouse. It's going to be unfathomable.
Well, okay, another question we can slip in here. This is from Jeff from listening from Nebraska. Asked how long you think it would be, you know, the day of the collapse when everything hits the fan versus when the people on the white horses come in and say, okay, we're here to pick up the pieces. Is that going to be a week, a month, a year, a couple of years? And the second part of that question is that length of time, is that going to be utilized to essentially call the population, you know, in the more manageable numbers?
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely going to call the population, number one. The time frame that these guys like to use, honestly, it's going to be once the collapse occurs, you're going to look at least 2.5 to 3 years of bedlam. That's what you're going to look at. You're going to look at 2.5 to 3 years of absolute bedlam and mayhem. They're going to do that. Okay, why? Because they're going to create as much psychological trauma like you've never did before. You see, when you got some food and you got a plan, quote unquote, and you think you're going to ride it out for a little bit, let's say 6 months, they know that you can handle 6 months if you know how to ride it out right. But they know after a year and a half, a year, you're going to start cracking a little bit. By the second year, now you're nervous. Oh, boy. At the 2.5 to 3 year mark, you are begging for mercy. Okay, that's what they know. So they're going to let you sweat it out. Remember, these guys have all the time in the world. All right, they got all the time in the world once this thing pops. But they're going to let this, you know, this pressure cooker, you know, they're going to turn it up on full blast, and it's going to stay there for at least 2.5 to 3 years. That's the plan.
Wow. And by the, and this is now, this is coming from me. And by they,
obviously you're talking about the globalists, the international bankers, the people that they orchestrate this. Okay, and one more question from me. I wrote an article that was based on an Obama regime official, unnamed, admitting, and I think maybe you and I spoke about this, and Steve spoke about this last time you were on.
Throwing the dollar?
Yeah, yeah. Is there any defensible position? I mean, there's no defensible position that anyone can take about killing the dollar, is there?
No, none. Absolutely none. If you're a patriotic American, the last thing you want to say out of your mouth is, we're going to go ahead and kill the dollar. What that simply means, we're going to remove it from its position of power as the world reserve currency, number one. Number two, we're going to devalue the heck out of it so it's going to be absolutely worthless. So what these guys are planning is for us to have a currency that's going to be on parity with much of the third world. You see, the plan is not to have any more industrial development, but to cease industrial development. The plan is to deindustrialize America, and they've been doing a damn good job of it for the last 40 years or so, and that's what we're all witnessing. So their goal is never to allow a nation such as America to ever rise again, number one. Number two, their goal is to kill off sovereignty. Number three is global integration into macro-clustered cities and locations all throughout the world. And number four, having a one global currency system that everything is tracked, everything is ubiquitous. And when I mean, folks, when I say ubiquitous, I mean this. From your smartphones to your refrigerator to your appliances to your bank account, everything is linked. Every aspect, every habit that you have, they know. You are what you buy. It's as simple as that. I can tell more about you based on your purchases than it would blow your mind away if I were to show you exactly who you are based on what you buy. And these are the variables that they're going to take into play with this new coming global currency. So, you know, that's how things are going to play out.
Okay. Wow. That's and that does fit. It's amazing to hear you come in via at this time. And I'm just looking at this from my perspective, let's say over the last decade, knowing Steve, to hear you come in at this time and then hearing and recalling what Steve said when really I first met him, and seeing how everything is just matched up. And I don't know how anyone cannot believe that we are in such danger or not see it. But it's obvious that many don't, because they're still walking out of the stores with big box purchases and dancing like they're on the deck of the Titanic, basically, without knowing it's a problem. So, yeah, man, wow. And we're going to see. And Steve, I suppose, you know, you and I spoke earlier today. I mean, we're going to see pretty much Boston on steroids throughout the United States, as we was talking about, in terms of a martial law crackdown. Steve, do you think we're going to get any relief from any of the small town police department? I mean, you know, people like Richard Mack and such. Any hope there? At least throwing a monkey wrench into the plans? Richard Mack and people like him, Steve? Steve. Okay.
Well, we know that Constitutional Sheriffs of America were placed on the Southern Poverty Law Center's hate group list.
Yeah, yeah.
We see what's happening with the Christians coming out of the Pentagon for the last week, what they're saying. They're going to be court-martialing people who preach the gospel. I don't see a freedom movement coming to restore anything to this nation.
Absolutely right.
With too late in the game.
Yeah, yeah, and you know what? Boy, I'll tell you, food, 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 and you know, I'm not sure what other practical advice that you could offer people. Food and precious metals are the answer. Is there anything that just the average guy, I mean, and of course, getting your spirit, your mind spiritually right? I mean,
yeah, spiritually, I mean, spiritually, there's one of the biggest things I could tell anybody this. Look, if I meet a man, okay, let me tell you something about the psyche of the male mind. You know, we live in a modern world, but we're still a hunter-gatherer, you know, mentality. Our genetics are programmed that way. So oftentimes, you know, a man is designed that when he can sense a danger, he can sense a threat, and that threat is something that it has the propensity to harm his tribe, harm his territory, harm his ability to provide for his tribe, and that man has to make a decision to either circumvent the threat or neutralize the threat. Okay, that is normal masculine male functioning. Okay, what I find in this world and in this country and what has happened in the last 30 years, men have become so damn dumbed down that it's absolutely nauseating. None of the junk would be occurring today if men did what they're supposed to do. Okay? When you look at society, you look at economics, you look at finance, you look at politics, you look at sociology, every aspect is because there is a lack of good men. So there's a lack of good men. What happens? You got a bunch of bad men and guys who are a bunch of immature punks running the show. Look, I've been in the banking finance world. Most of these guys are frat boys high on coke. That's who's running the show, folks. Frat boys high on cocaine. They do enough cocaine to kill a horse, all right? That's who runs it. To them, it's a game. They're all a bunch of sycophants, all right?
Right.
If real men were around, none of this stuff would happen. But what I find happening is most men are so deluded and brainwashed by network television. Think about it. Look at all the popular shows. The men, the husbands, the father figures are all portrayed as idiots. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Most men I talk to, they tell me, well, you know, I'm not worried about it, or you know, you're a fear monger, or oh, it's not going to happen in my generation. I looked them straight in the eye and I said, okay, well, let's talk about your porn addiction. Let's talk about your porn addiction. All of a sudden, they take a step back. Most guys I know are a bunch of porn addicted punks. They're weak. They're limp-wristed and milquetoast. Why? Folks, let me tell you something. One of the most powerful books I've ever read was a book by Napoleon Hill. And I read this as a young man. It was called Think and Grow Rich. Okay? Napoleon Hill coined the term sexual transmutation. And what he simply implied was this, and I actually did a study with Delphi University on this one. He said, the most powerful drive you have is your sex drive. That when Napoleon Hill studied 1,200 of the most successful men that ever lived, he found out that they had one thing in common, that their sex drive was absolutely focused, that it did not waver. They weren't out there chasing skirts, but they focused their drive into building their inventions, creating their business empires, conquering their endeavors, and achieving their goals. And they had a blessed family life in conjunction. All right? That's what it – see, the enemy knows that. And society knows that. That's why they make sure you're looking at that half-naked billboard girl. They're making sure that those commercials, you got half-naked chicks running around every 30 seconds. They make sure that you're bombarded with sexual imagery. You become like a bucket that has holes, where your very sexual drive and your energies are just flowing out of you. You have no control over it. The enemy knows that. The globalists understand that. They play to your very basal carnal instincts. Because if you're distracted, what happens? You emasculate yourself. Do you hear me, guys? All right? The definition of a man is not somebody who can go out there and sleep with 50 women. That's not the definition of a man. The definition of a man is not somebody who's a punk who acts like a frat boy, immature, stuck in a dress that developed. That's not what the definition of a man is. The definition of a man is somebody who is responsible in his community, who's responsible to his family and is an upstanding citizen. but understand that he is someone that rises to the occasion, that when he sees a threat, when he sees the danger, he confronts it, he exposes it, he does whatever he can to wake up those that are around him. That's the definition of a man. And what I find in this porn, sex-obsessed, emasculated population that we're living in, is that the men are God. Look at most churches. Who leads most of these churches? Who shows up to most of these prayer meetings and these Bible studies? It's mostly women. Most of the guys that do kind of show up to church that don't want to be part of it, most of them are limp-wristed. Where are all the men? The enemy has kept, Satan has done some, if you look at the pattern in the Old Testament, you see this. When the enemies of Israel came upon Israel, they would always do this. They would always kill the men, and then they take captive the women. Well, that's what Lucifer is doing today. All the men are dead, and the women are captivated. It's a topsy-turvy society we're living in. And that's where my burden is. If men can wake up, if you men that are hearing my voice, get red-blooded, get fired up, and wake up to what's going on around you, you can put a stop to this. You can put a stop to this. You can slow it down. You can wake up people. We don't have to go down this road if we wake up and we turn from our immoral, psychotic ways. Then we
absolutely. Man, I love that because that's my. I've been asking the same question. Where in the hell are all the men in the world today? And I mean that, by your definition, those men. Very well said. We must be really turning the heat up because I must have, 40 questions specifically for you. If I can get through just several of them here, I'd be grateful.
Go ahead. No problem.
Okay. I'm not going to. What I won't do is I'm just going to ask the questions without attributing to name or location. Somebody wants to know. If you, V, or Steve, perhaps, would give a non-binding estimate of how soon, perhaps, a gun grab might be, just wondering. And my answer to that, of course, is already happening. But, I guess in earnest, I don't know. Any thoughts on that? I mean, maybe even in the perspective or in the context of a collapse, would it be pretty much immediate or concurrent with the collapse?
Yeah, I mean, economically, the collapse, what they want to do is they're going to do whatever they can to disarm the law abiders. I mean, those who abide by the law, those who have went along and, I'm just registering my firearm. That's all I'm doing. Registration does not mean confiscation. Those who are dumb enough to register your firearms, guess what? When this collapse does occur, the plan is they're going to come and disarm you. Okay, why? They're going to make sure that every thug and street gangbanger are in your neighborhood and in the cities that you live near are fully armed, and they're going to make sure that you're disarmed. Why? Because they're going to create as much animalistic chaos as possible. When you have a dumbed-down, uneducated, animalistic group of people like these punks running around in the inner cities, when they're on to the teeth and you're not, they understand that the body count on our side will be much higher than the body count on their side. Now, you got to understand, they need this chaos. Because the whole point of this whole thing is to have us beg for mercy. They're not going to have let's be honest here. We're not going to beg for mercy in 6 months. We're not going to be begging for mercy in about a year or a year and a half. But 2.5 to 3 years, most of us are going to start cracking at that point. And that's the time frame that they have. So, they understand that if law-abiding citizens have firearms, okay, and most of them are veterans, what happens? Well, veterans tend to develop structures of leadership. When they have leadership, what happens? They tend to pool and organize together. And once you have organized people together, they tend to organize into neighborhoods, organize into communities. And once communities and neighborhoods begin to organize, they begin to defend themselves, and they begin to defend their resources against these roving street gangs. And that's something that the globalists can't have. So in order for them to bring about their grandiose collapse scheme, they got to first disarm you. As long as you're armed, it's going to be a problem. So now the thing is, like what Steve mentioned, is not they're not just going to disarm you. They're just going to kill you. Okay, so that's the calamity. So again, the question I'm about to ask is how many different ways do I have to tell you that you're screwed?
You know, you have to laugh at this point because you just do, I guess. Interesting question from a gentleman in California. And I've heard some rumblings about this. Have you heard anything like a catastrophic collapse or a catastrophic event, a natural catastrophic event? I'm talking anything from a volcanic eruption or an earthquake to an asteroid to something, you know, really weird and catastrophic in addition to the economic stuff taking place.
This bubble gum economy that we're living in right now is so volatile. I don't know if you guys remember, but about like 2 weeks ago, the Associated Press's Twitter account got hacked into, and they tweeted that there was some sort of an explosion in the White House and Obama was hurt. Just that, you know, blurb of a tweet allowed $24 billion to escape out of the S&P 500. Just like that, in a blink of an eye, in less than 3 minutes. Okay, now the S&P 500 is a massively over-leveraged bubble market, just like the bond market. But that just shows you how volatile and how scared, you know, investors are, and how really there's nothing of real value or volume that's in the marketplace. So if you have an economic collapse, or if you have a natural man-made, or even a natural event, or a man-made event that occurs that's catastrophic enough, it could absolutely decimate and wipe out the marketplace and bring this whole charade to a stop. Because that's how delicate and fragile it is.
Yeah, but you haven't gotten any memo saying, hey, asteroid X2972 is on its way and I'm going to, you know, wipe out the East Coast of the United States. You haven't seen any memos like that?
No. The only thing right now is what they're doing right now is, see, the big boys back in the end of June or so, they got out of the euro. They're all out. Their plan was to get everybody on board with the dollar, which they already done. Okay, I hope everybody sees that. Everybody's in the dollar. Look at the dollar index; it's through the roof. People are buying the dollars and you know, UST bills, beginning to safe haven. So now they're on the second phase of the plan. So everybody's on board the dollar. Third phase of the plan is to pop this whole thing. The way they're going to pop it is they're going to create hyper velocity in the Japanese marketplace. And once they do that, that's what's going to, you know, set the catalyst off that's going to bring this whole house of cards crashing down. Look, these guys want to make money, okay? Their money, when I'm talking about money, they want to get as much hard asset as possible. When Greece fell and came apart, what happened? Well, you had the world's billionaires and multinational corporations go to Greece and buy up infrastructure at pennies on the dollar. That's what these guys want. The end game is transfer of wealth. They don't want to have everything destroyed. They want to make sure that they get it all. They get all the land, they get all the resources, and the rest of us, we get herded into compact cities to live out the rest of our meaningless lives.
Okay. And in that context, too, because Gary from Mississauga asked if you're seeing a transfer of wealth, especially due to this new pope and the papacy and the Jesuit, the duality here, and so on, if you're seeing a transfer of wealth from to South America or to the Southern Hemisphere, I should say, but specifically to South America because of this pope. And if that means anything, you know, or if that's...
No, there is no transfer of wealth to South America. There's only transfers of wealth out of South America. The only people that are in South America are the few bankers who have safe houses out there. That's about it. I mean, you'll see some transfers of wealth into their own, you know, private accounts, into their own control. These guys, like I said, you know, if you don't hold it, you don't own it. Well, these guys hold it. That's about it. This pope, even though he's from Argentina, he's not an Argentinian. Man's Italian. He's of Italian parents, Italian descent. That's one thing you got to keep in mind. So, you know, don't buy that Argentinian veneer. And if you know anything about Argentina, most Argentinians are of Italian and European descent. That being said, number two, South America, there's not one stable economy in South America save Brazil. And even that one is kind of shaky. If Brazil was not part of the BRICS, they'll be damned. You know, they'll be in a whole world of hurt. Because the problem with most South American, and the problem with all the South American countries, they're so darn socialistic. It's disgusting, number one. Number two, there's nothing but bloated bureaucracies and broken economies. That's the only thing. That's the whole history of South America in a nutshell. You know, people ask me, oh, where should I relocate to? Let me go to Argentina. Let me go there. I'm like, it's the worst thing you could do.
And I agree with that. That's fine. One more question here, and this is kind of an interesting. It's like a 6-part question. I'll just grab a couple of parts here. You know, I guess if you don't own it, if you don't possess it, if you can't guard it, can't touch it, it's not yours. I preface that. The question we have here is, what about I'll learn to talk tomorrow. What about internationalizing oneself, like distributing your assets, putting gold, silver in like a private vault in Singapore, for example, or buying property in another country? Is that gonna help or?
It helps your cause. I mean, I personally speaking, I have some stuff that's international and abroad that can't be touched, that are getting extremely high yield and interest right now. But the point is, it only works for me is if I have access to it. Now, if I'm able to draw from it at one point, yeah, then it's beneficial. You know, my thing is, like, for instance, if I have, some assets sitting in an account or a vault that one day I have access to, then it benefits me. Whether I have access to it today or, let's say, in a collapse, I have access to it, or after, pre- or post-collapse, I have access to it, then it benefits me. But if I have money in a far-off account or gold or silver in a far-off account and I can't have access to it, then I'm in trouble. Now, please bear in mind, when the collapse does occur, understand that your banking networks and servers, they're going to be down, okay? Everything's going to be watched. You guys got to understand, the collapse is going to occur. How do you create bedlam? Well, they're going to create bedlam by bringing in the most ridiculous capital controls you've ever seen. I mean, you're talking about shutdown of ATM networks. You're talking about shutdown of electronic banking, wire transfers. So if your assets are in one part of the world and you don't get to that part of the world before this collapse happens, you're going to be SOL, if you know what I mean. Okay?
Oh, yeah, we know what you mean, my friend. Steve, I know you want to answer the question on the disaster question. Go ahead, my brother.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, Doug? We can hear you.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, because I got cut off and I had to reconnect. I think the situation that's really building is you've got to watch the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, you've got to watch Hekla Volcano in Iceland, you've got to watch the Canary Islands, because, again, this thing is building. It's like birth pangs. That's what Jesus said. And when the pangs become close enough together, the delivery's there. Given the fact that there is a massive desire amongst the Illuminists to destroy as many people as possible, and the technology of weather warfare and earthquake generation, look, there's over 100 patents dealing with it, so I'm not going to argue with anybody, but the area that has to be watched is the Mid-Atlantic Ridge. Hekla is a huge initiator of what goes on. Hekla's a volcano in Iceland that goes on, especially in the Canary Islands, especially in the Cumbre Vieja area, and I think it's really important for people to understand this is not dying down, it's becoming greater and greater. The pressures are building. And Doug, here's what I don't think most people understand. They take everything for granted. And here's a good way to say it. Everything they take for granted will be taken from them, unless they're willing to fight for it and hold on to it with all their might. And by the way, I have a little different view on why they want the guns taken away. They're getting ready to play their alien card. They're getting ready to play all the stuff that I've written about. The bottom line is, whether people believe it or not, these guys worship those things. The massive amount of data and information coming into me on a daily basis is so overwhelming that, like Brother Marcus
please, ladies and gentlemen, pray for him. He's fighting stuff that literally comes through gates and goes bump in the night. He's fighting everything from that most people can't even embrace or believe. The different brethren on the Native American reservations are fighting this stuff, and it's like how do I say it? It's party time for hell, and guess where the party's being thrown? So I believe the goal to basically disarm us isn't just because they're worried about us fighting them. It's worried about what they're releasing to come and fight us. And I make no apologies for that. And by the way, Doug, as of tonight, somebody just sent me an email. I pray by the grace of God, if this thing holds together, that new book I got, True Legends, it's done now. It goes to the proofer, then it goes to the printer. And I can only say this. When you're an author and you write stuff and you kind of have a hunch you know stuff, all I can say, and this is a big statement, with everything I know, with everyone I know, I have been blown away by the research of what's coming down and what is coming loose. It will even, if it can shake my cage, okay, if it can rattle me to the degree that's rattled, and I'm talking about interviews of people, I'm talking about the things that they're saying, I'm talking about people so terrified out of their minds, and yet this is happening now. I'm just sharing with people, I believe that as God has been so gracious to me as an author over the years, you know, not a slick salesman as my critics, you know, claim I am, but because I've done what no one else has done in the realm I've done it, obviously it's almost like it's a time key. In other words, when True Legends, Tales of the Plumed Serpent, and that's what America's called, whether people want to argue it or not, actually Tales of the Feathered Serpent, the bottom line is that when they find out the true nature of the supernatural enemies they're against, it's going to be apparent to them that they'd better know God. And as Pastor David Langford quoted the other night, Luke 4:19, where he's quoting from Jesus in the synagogue, but, you know, Jesus gives us power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and also that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us to set the captives free. It's the intercessors who are praying tonight for what V is saying, for what I've said, to try and get your attention. And Jesus said it this way, if I've told you of earthly things and you believe me not, how can I tell you of heavenly things? If you won't stand up and fight for that which you can see, what makes you think you can fight that which is invisible now but's becoming visible in your realm very soon? That's why Jesus said, men's hearts failing them for looking after those things coming upon the earth. So the point is that I want to share my answer is a little less distinguished than V's. If someone has to ask, when is it happening, I consider them already part of the Borg. I'm sorry, that may sound unkind, it may sound judgmental, but it's happening. See, that's what I think that, and V wouldn't argue with me. It's not that it's going to happen, it's happening. And if they pull the plug on a Friday and you were hoping for another Friday, then you're locked into the system. You've got to get out, you've got to take it into your hands, and you've got to become accountable first and foremost to God, and then secondly in your stewardship. And again, I'm going to say this is, and I believe that my days of saying this to the chagrin of my enemies will just be great. But the bottom line is if you want to get something, and you only go into gold and silver and precious metals if you've already got your food. And I told people to buy their food when it was non-GMO, and now everything's GMO. You are what you eat, and the transmutation of the human genome is accelerating the pace that you're going to be surprised at what you become and what they have planned for you if you don't stop. So please, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to talk to me, email me, just put if you're serious. I don't want any whiners. I don't want any nanny goats. And if you're looking at me to convince you to do something, then don't call me, because you're not convinced in your own mind. If you're convinced in your own mind what you've heard of V tonight and what I've said, and you're convinced that you know that you know that you know, and you've taken to the Lord in prayer, then email me. A time to call you, I will call you. And, brother, that's about it for me, because my voice is gone.
No, I'll tell you, Steve, you were fantastic, and a lot of people were just blown away by your prayers and by your passion. I just want to say this to V. I just want to thank you so much. I mean, the what you put on the line to tell us and to the information you provide is just, it's amazing. And I know by your faith and by our faith and our collective faith, we have to fight to live another day. We have to fight to obtain the blessings that we are promised. You know, after that, each battle, we're promised blessings, and we have to do that. And it's just my hope that all of us believers are able to meet together in person, if not on the earthly plane, then certainly in the spiritual plane, but hopefully in the earthly plane, meet in person, because you really impressed all of us with your intelligence and with your integrity, and certainly with your courage. And we want to thank you for that.
That's my pleasure.
And you know, V, I got to tell you, so many comments, and Steve, so many comments on the previous shows, which are on HomelandSecurityUS.com. On the front page, folks, you can listen to this show as well as the other shows, indeed, with V. And once again, I want to thank you, V. Our show has come to a close. I want to say God bless you. Joe, any final comments?
I just want to say God bless both you, Steve, and V, and be safe. And thank you for all that you've done to help people and contributed to our show.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, we will talk again. And if anyone wants to get a hold of you, V, they can do that through Steve Quayle.
Yeah, they can definitely get a hold of me through Steve. We're going to be doing something very special. We'll keep you guys up to date on what we're going to do. It's going to be something real special. It's going to help out some people.
Beautiful. All right. With that, we are going to close our show. I want to say thank you, sir. And have a great night after this. Wow, it's going to be very
good night, boys.
Folks, you've finished another 3 hours of the Hagman and the Hagman Report. I want to thank you very much for your time, for your patience, and for one apologize for that little snafu at the beginning, but we got through it.
Don't forget, tomorrow night we'll be joined by Nathan Liao at 8 o'clock Eastern for the whole 3 hours.
All right. God bless. Good night.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.